Welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, good morning or good evening, whatever the case may be, and welcome to the largest live overnight talk radio program in America, maybe the largest of any kind all night in America. 192 affiliates strong and getting ready to get stronger. We'll be hitting that 200 mark soon. Hi, everybody. This is Coast to Coast AM. Actually, lots of coasts. Tahiti to the Caribbean to the North Pole into South America. That's a lot of coverage. And that's the extent of about how much I try to think about it. All right, it's Friday night, Saturday morning, so anything goes. You guys name it, we'll do it. I do have a few thoughts on a few things. Bosnia, of course, remains in the top of the news, and they had the big meeting in London yesterday. And so tonight, yet we have another threat from NATO. Earlier in the day, NATO met in Europe. Actually, NATO and the Russians, and they were there. When the meeting ended, President Clinton trotted out and said the NATO partners had reached agreement. And then right behind him came the Russian representative who said, wrong, they had not agreed. Now, I guess the president meant everybody but Russia, you see, agreed. Now, the Russians, more or less on the side of the Serbs, so they're not agreeing to heavy airstrikes against the Serbs. NATO's threat is the latest. This is NATO threat number 94. Actually, I don't know if that's true, but, you know, there's been a lot of them. Leave the last safe haven, Garoshka, alone or else. The or else would appear to be a bombing campaign. The U.S. wants, despite Russian objectives, and to be fair, the Russian or the French and the British also are going along with us. The Bosnian Muslims say, not enough. And can you blame them? We've promised more or less protection for them, named the safe havens, and now we are down to one, count it, one safe haven. They're not even going to call Sarajevo a safe haven. The Serbs are openly defying, of course, the latest threat, saying, well, look, we can open two fronts if we need to, one against the continuing one, against the Muslims, and the international community will not be a problem. So we can open two fronts. At any rate, the meeting in London arguably was not a success. Americans had wanted complete agreement. They didn't get it. The intensity of the airstrikes and the scope, in other words, they're going to be limited to Garoshka, not to include Sarajevo. So the threat now is, don't you take this last safe area. Yes, we know you've taken all the others, but don't you take this one. If you do, we're going to bomb. So the Allies, NATO, will now send a messenger to the Serbs with the latest threat, which they no doubt will put on a pile of previous threats. The Allies will meet tomorrow to act on the threat. Now, our president said, boy, it was a really good deal. This was a good meeting. And that attacks could actually begin as soon as tomorrow, soon to be today. As a matter of fact, they issued some sort of statement about it's going to be bad news for them. If they begin massing to attack Garoshka, bad news. We're going to really hit them hard. Bob Dole's comment on the meeting was, quote, it seems the London meeting was a disappointment. Another dazzling display of ducking the problem, end quote. Oh, my. Administration officials say this is different than previous warnings, but they do admit that it's going to be lights out for the UN if this fails. Now, you'd think a statement like that would really encourage the Serbs. In other words, we're going to make one last try at protecting a safe area. But if it fails, that's it. Boy, the UN's out. Now, where does that serve up the motivation to the Serbs? Anyway, what do you think the UN will do? Will they indeed strike? Will the strikes be effective? Will the Serbs shake and rattle when they get this warning? When the little UN messenger, probably in a little blue UN helmet, runs in with this latest threat. Actually, the threat, frankly, is more from NATO than it is. As a matter of fact, a lot of the UN is being cut out now. NATO is not happy with the UN, and can you blame them? Who is? Anyway, they're trying to get UN personnel the hell out of the way. So if the bombing does begin, if, I said, they won't be able to take blue-helmeted people and chain them to targets. So that is the present sad state of affairs. I thought that the Dateline, I think it was Dateline NBC program earlier tonight, had a story worthy of our discussion. There was a crime in California, a terrible crime. A man was running a gun store. I think he was 58 years old, and that was his business. And he had a wife and family, and his business was a gun store. Well, a couple of little black kids, well, one a kid, one an adult, teen, came in, and they were intent on robbing the guy. Well, they ended up beating him to death, took a pipe, and just beat this guy to death. The bad guys, kids, whatever, one adult, got life in jail, no possibility of parole. The other one, a juvenile, got the max sentence, basically to be held in juvenile custody until he's 21 years of age. The surviving widow is in desperate financial straits. She is going to probably lose the house and has already lost her husband. And they showed a court scene where she said, you know, here was my husband, showed a big portrait picture of him, and said, here he is now, and threw a box of ashes. This was, you know, at the sentencing, and threw a box of ashes down on the table. Anyway, the widow is now suing the parents of both families, of the juvenile and of the adult, in prison for life. She will receive some help from California's victim fund, but she's going beyond that, and she's suing the parents of both families. They say, not fair, we didn't do it, it was our child, it's going to ruin us. We'll lose our house, we'll lose everything we've got. She got a $250,000 judgment from one of the kids. Now, that was touching. He went on to say, oh, I'll probably have to work my whole life to pay this off. And, well, who cares? But the question is about the family, the families, both in this case. Both say they'll be ruined. And as a matter of fact, to add to the whole mix, there is now a bill on the California governor's desk, which I'll bet he signs, that would even remove the requirement to sue. In other words, if your cute little progeny goes out and does something awful, you, as a parent, could be paying for it the rest of your natural life. You could lose what you have. And I wonder how people feel about that. Maybe a little inducement to more parental responsibility or unfair? What do you think? It was a little shocking. I mean, on the one hand, parents are, in a way, responsible for what their children do, but by the time they get to be teens, you're not always in control. I mean, should they be able to sue you and virtually take everything you've got for what your child does? That's what's going on, and that's the law. It's about to be signed there in California. And it doesn't matter whether it is or not. there can be civil suits, and indeed she is suing civilly. Affirmative action still in the news. That thing between the governor and Jesse yesterday really stirred it up. UC Board of Regents, of course, voting late last night to end all affirmative action. What will the loss of race and gender preference mean? Well, about half of this year's class was chosen because of gender or race. Jesse Jackson, in kind of a funk about the whole thing, said, "Why America's educational system has been hijacked." So do you think the UC Board of Regents did the right thing? I do. Affirmative action either is or isn't. The president, of course, the other day saying that we shouldn't end it, we should mend it. Now, that's silliness. Because you either have affirmative action or you don't. And affirmative action, to me, means, has to mean, preferences, racism, quotas, some yardstick by which to measure whether you are affirmatively acting. Right? There must be a yardstick to determine if there is action going on. That's why they call it affirmative action. So, that's still a big firestorm going on. Very little news coming out of the Waco trial. All I can give you tonight is that yesterday, Lloyd Benson, the former Treasury Secretary, you'll recall, during the Waco days, had to go in front of the committee and admit very poor coordination. In fact, imagine this. Lloyd Benson said he wasn't even told of the initial attack on the compound until hours after it was well underway. The Secretary of the Treasury, the boss of the ATF, wasn't told the raid was even underway until several hours after it was going. Do you believe that? I'm not so sure I believe that. And any more than I really believed that George Bush had very, quote, minimal information on Iran-Contra. Come on. Sure he did. He's an old CIA guy. He knew what was going on. And old Lloyd Benson, he must have known about the attack on Waco, too. But he went in front of the committee yesterday and said he didn't even know about it. Not me. Not until just hours after it was underway. Poor communication. Some rather startling new allegations on the Good Old Boys Picnic, the ATF annual get-together. These latest allegations are of rape, and drug use, rape and drug use, at a BATF picnic. Okay. The, drug use. That says Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. And I guess they had all of them there, huh? Alcohol, tobacco, firearms. And maybe a little bit of fodder for the DEA guys. Amazing story, isn't it? Sad, but amazing. Spending cuts. The Senate has passed the $16 billion in spending cuts. But you recall the president balked, and so now they have added $7 billion in new spending. Interesting. Mostly California disaster relief. The president says he'll probably sign this one. So you cut 16, you add 7, then you make the president happy and he signs the bill. Okay. I've got a little information on the Waco hearings, days 1 and days 2, with regard to the amount of coverage given to the Waco hearings by the various networks, and I thought you might be interested. ABC had two stories. Average length, 4 minutes and 45 seconds in total. CBS had two stories, 4 minutes, 30 seconds. NBC had two stories, 3 minutes, 40 seconds. and PBS had 4 stories, 15 minutes and 30 seconds. The New York Times devoted 5 stories, the Washington Post 5, USA Today 5. The top issues so far with regard to the press, this is what'll get you. In the Waco hearings, the NRA role in the hearings has had 10 stories. 10 stories. Political motives have had 6 stories. ATF drug nexus, 3 stories. Government non-disclosure, 2 stories. And ATF military assistance, 2 stories. So what I told you about the coverage, the national coverage, of the Waco hearings is exactly true. It is weighted in favor of the ATF and the government by a long shot. I just gave you the figures, and you cannot ignore them. Next couple of stories, I guess, several stories in a way, about women. Women at work. Labor Department stats. This is pretty interesting. The number of families where both work, you know, the man and the woman, is up 12.5% from 74 to 94. An additional 17 million women in the workplace, now totaling 58 million American women working. A new study says, get this, 55% of working women make half or more of their family's total income. Still, they don't make as much. And they took the field, for example, of psychology. A man psychologist can expect to make, on average, about $31,000. A woman psychologist, $22,000. Women now make 76 cents to every dollar men make. And the question is why? And I'm sure that you out there, many of you have the answers. There was, I've got coverage of Susan Smith and a lot more here. I've got a lot of information on OJ. I really have too much news. But this is related to women, so I thought I would toss it in as well. The late ABC show did a piece on women in bathrooms, and it's all extremely sad. Apparently, women don't have, or one of their biggest complaints, period, is that they do not have bathrooms. There are not bathrooms for women, or enough bathrooms for women. So, I wonder what you make out of that. Not enough bathrooms for women. They showed long, long lines for women. And women were complaining bitterly that going to events, you know, movies and stage shows and wherever it is that women go, there are not enough women. Moreover, it takes them more time in the bathroom. Now, all of this may seem silly, but some women are getting so incensed and in a hurry that they're marching into men's rooms, which they say are empty or nearly empty. And it's a real horror. I mean, I would be horrified to be the one guy in a men's room and have a troop of ladies or a lady or a troop of ladies come marching in, demanding to be able to use the facility alongside myself. That would bother me. So I wonder if it would bother you. Anyway, that's a little more news on women. And women out there may wish to confirm it and say, yes, it is true art, or it's a bunch of baloney, and they were just doing a kind of a story that looks interesting. I have a feeling, kind of a sneaky suspicion, that it's probably true. Susan Smith. New details. The final hours, the final days before she killed her children. First, apparently, we found out, she was trying to drive off a bridge with her children. In other words, she was going to commit suicide with her children. But one of her children began to cry, so she kept going, went on to the lake, where she first released the parking brake, was going to drown herself, then pulled it back again, what they say, then released it again, then jumped out of the car. They say they're trying to argue the motive was suicide. They said Susan was dispensing sex to her husband, ex, her stepfather, her boss, and her boss's son. That she thought of suicide every day. And, of course, the only question left for Susan is whether she lives or dies. That's really, frankly, about it. Whether she lives or dies. That's it. All right, folks. We break here at the bottom of the hour. And we prepare. Friday night, Saturday morning, two-way talk next.
Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995.
Facts on Susan Smith. In regard to Susan Smith, the question of her guilt because of insanity is not even relevant. A mother who murders her own children by strapping them in a car and rolling it into a lake is obviously insane. No, the question everyone should ask is, did she know right from wrong? I believe she did. Why? Because she had an alibi and a story already made up. This also shows premeditation. Looks like a clear case of first-degree murder to me. And this, concerning Susan Smith, she was no more crazy when she killed her kids, as are most people who kill during crimes of passion. I agree with that. I absolutely do agree with that, but a crime of passion is generally considered to be a mitigating circumstance, isn't it? And then this fact, hey Art, how come you said the kids in the shooting, it wasn't shooting actually, it was a beating, how come you said they were black kids? It's very racist to mention that they were African American community members. How do you know that the old white man didn't make them do it? Maybe he said racist things and tried to shoot them or something. Well, actually, sir, the words were the kids came into the gun shop to rob the white guy. Says you shouldn't talk about race when you talk about crime. That's Howard in Oakland, where there's a lot of crime. A lot of it black, too. See, Howard, that's why I mention it, because it's true. It's not true to mention, not racist to mention that they were black. I saw them on TV, so I saw they were black. And it's not racist, it's just simply true. The black community is well aware of it. And white kids, when they commit crimes, are mentioned also as white, many if not most times. Art, we live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, 30 miles east of the Twin Cities. We're watching an hour-long, at least I think, weather special being broadcast on WCCO-TV that is reporting unprecedented tornado and thunderstorm activity in Twin Cities in our area. started around 5:30 this evening, and the storms just continue to redevelop. They have interviewed pilots who have never seen anything like this before, this far north. The storms are slow-moving and just constantly redevelop. We'll be tuning you in at about 1 a.m., at which time the storms are predicted to be in our area. P.S., we used to listen to you on KEX. Portland moved west central Wisconsin, picked you up a while on WOAI, yeah, all the way from San Antonio, then WTMJ in Milwaukee, and wonderfully now from KSTP in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Well, let me tell you something. Our network took some hits earlier tonight up in the Oregon area. They have vicious storms going on. Hail, lightning. The weather continues to be a very, very big story. And something's going on with the weather. I don't care. I'm saying it. I'm not shying away from it. Something's going on. Like with the geologic activity, which, by the way, I also want to mention, it's been very quiet, nervously quiet, up in Northern California for too long now. And that's all I'll say about that. The weather, though, something's wrong with the weather. Really wrong. So I agree with the faxer from Wisconsin. And they had it so bad up at the network, we uplink on what's called KU-band. Actually, we downlink on C-band, uplink on KU-band. KU-band is a very high frequency, and it is affected when you have a density of rain. They had marble-sized raindrops, I'm told, to the degree the network could not get its signal up to satellite. It simply could not get through the density of the raindrops. Something's going on with the weather. So, I've got more, but I will hold it. Are you ready? East of the Rockies, you're first up this morning on the air. Hi.
Hi. Art Bell?
Yes. Turn your radio off and tell us where you are.
I am in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Kenosha. Hi.
Yes, and I have lived in northern Wisconsin, and this weather is not unusual.
It's not unusual?
No.
Even after what you heard that lady from Wisconsin say in the facts here?
Yes.
So you get lots of big storms like that up in Wisconsin.
Yes, in fact, it's been unusual weather because we don't have the tons of snow and everything up north.
Yeah. Well, this lady had words from pilots who said they'd never seen anything like it.
No, actually, I don't think it's unusual. I lived in an area where we were between two hills,
mm-hmm.
and they always said if a tornado came through there, it'd wipe out the whole area. And they had a couple touchdowns here and there, but I don't think it's unusual. But what I wanted to call you about tonight is, did you see 2020?
Which part?
About the Mexicans getting all kinds of aid from the United States and being able to cross over the border, pick up their checks.
No, but I'm very well familiar with the story.
That made me ill.
Well, that's, ma'am, there's just not news. That's been going on for a long time. Sure, they can do all kinds of things. They can cross the border and have their baby. And as long as that baby is born on U.S. soil. And my understanding is that at L.A. County Hospital, about 65% of all live births are to illegal aliens. 65%. They then are automatically American citizens, entitled to everything a citizen can get. Moreover, when they get to be 21, they can bring mom and dad and sisters, brothers, grandfathers into the U.S. Documents? No problem. $150, and you can be documented six ways from Sunday, matter of fact. West of the Rockies, whoops, you would have been on the air. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello?
Is this Art Bell?
Well, I can barely hear you.
Art Bell?
Yes, that's me.
Okay, Art?
Yes.
Hold on.
All right, well, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds to get that radio turned off, sir.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, where are you?
I'm in Missouri.
Missouri, okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to
Okay, you still got your radio on, sir.
Oh, hold on.
No, I don't think so. Sorry about that. We'll serve it up once, and I'll wait once, but not twice. When you get on the air, turn your radio off. I know it makes me seem like a cruel, ruthless dictator, but I guess I am. That's the way it's going to be. Turn your radio off. And so if I say turn the radio off, and you say okay, and I wait, and then the radio's still on again, and you have to turn it down twice, I mean, you must have a very unusual radio. That volume must just jump right back up by itself. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, my God, I'm on the air. I've been calling forever and cannot ever get through. Springfield, Illinois, my name's Eric.
So it's not true, Eric, because here you are.
Yes. About those boys that beat that man to death.
Yes.
I think they ought to take their parents, put them in jail with the kids forever. Take the parents' belongings, if there's grandparents alive, put them in jail, too, and take their belongings, too. I have never seen anything so sick in my entire life. A robbery's bad enough, but beating some old man to death with a iron pipe, I don't care what.
And here this guy calls up and says it's racist to observe that they were black kids.
Yeah.
And, probably he said something to encourage all of this, to get himself killed. He probably insulted them or made a racist slur or something. Something he's got no basis of evidence for whatsoever, but he said it.
Absolutely. It reminds me of like when the Dahmer thing was going on.
Yes.
There was some guy going around saying Dahmer was a racist. I mean, you know, the guy, what, he ate like 17 people and they're worried about that he was a racist.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, sir. Yeah, I remember that. Actually, I think that he gobbled people of both races. My recollection. Both races. First time caller line. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, my name is Pat, and I'm from San Diego.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm a huge fan of the show. I've been listening for a long time, and something you said tonight when I was driving home to my friend's house reminded me of something. I grew up in Alaska and lived through a lot of the earthquakes, the major one that hit up there. And ever since I went through that experience, I was real young when it happened, but I mean, it would be really strange, like I'd sense, like, an earthquake or a,
sure,
you know, something happening and then it would happen. And it's really funny, a couple of, something you said about, you know, Northern California being really quiet and, you know, what you were saying about that.
Yeah, I think that not good. In other words, the little quakes, I think, relieve the strain. And when you don't have one for a long time, it's time to start worrying.
Yeah, I know. Well, what I was going to tell you is the other night I was outside. It was an extraordinarily quiet night, and the stars were out and everything, and I was thinking to myself, you know, I just had that sense that, you know,
it's
at some
coming.
Point.
Yeah. You know, with your feeling about earthquakes, I suppose it is incumbent on me to ask you, what made you go to California?
That's a fair question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I lived in Anchorage for 12 years after that major one hit, and then, you know, I went into the military, you know, after that, and I ended up in Southern California because I was sent here by the military, but I decided to stay in San Diego because I fell in love with my husband, and, you know, I decided to blow off the fear of the earthquake, but I, at the same time, knew that that was, you know, part of the package deal. But,
that's fact, yes. Well,
but,
San Diego is perhaps not as much at risk as north of the area.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I was just thinking how, I don't know, I've just been listening to the show for the last year, and I just identified with, I've heard other callers call in and mention that, you know, something's going to be happening, and I had a real strong sense that, I don't think necessarily San Diego per se, but it's been a long time since since 1989, that really bad one hit Northern Cal, and I don't know.
Well, I've got a strong sense that something's about to come. I've got to run. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
You take care. That's San Diego, and I've had this sense for a while now, sort of a pending sense of something. I don't know what it is, geological, weather, whatever, but something's on the way. Mother Nature is raising her hand, perhaps metaphorically in the way my wife finally came in and raised that fly swatter. Some interesting developments in the O.J. trial. O.J. Simpson's attorneys now say they expect to wrap up their case in about a week and a half. Now, this comes from court transcripts released Friday in the former football star's double murder trial. It was from a sidebar conference. And I guess I'm telling you, he said, Johnny Cochran, I'm going to finish in a week and a half. Now, he told the judge that. Now, here's the thing you're going to want to watch for. According to Los Angeles television station, KCAL, Simpson's lawyers have hired a woman defense attorney to play the part of prosecutor Marcia Clark and put the defendant through a mock cross-examination. They have hired somebody in Marcia Clark's image. I wonder if they could really get the same driving temperament of Marcia Clark to put O.J. Simpson through the paces the way they think Marcia Clark will do it. You know, you can almost imagine the ad that must have gone in the newspaper for that one. Needed one mock prosecutor. Qualifications. Well, you know, I've got to be fair here. Sharp. Very intellectual. Bitchy. Whiny. Effective. Aggravating. Professional. She is all of those, and you'd have to put an ad in like that anyway. So they did it. How O.J. did is an open question. Now, somebody here said that Michael, I think it is, from Orange, says, the cross-examination rehearsal with a skillfully trained female attorney went so badly that O.J., they have decided, will not take the stand. Well, I don't know about that. How many of you can name one of life's little serious bothers? I had a serious one earlier today, and this is going to seem very trivial to you, but it was a major event at the time. I work all night, so I sleep at least during a portion of the day. Well, I was asleep, you know, and little fly lands on me. And you know how it is when you're asleep, but not asleep, and you're just awakening, and you feel the fly, and you go, you swish. I swatted him away. I suffered with this fly. It's hard to know, to measure time, but it seems like an hour. I would, I'd whisk him away. A couple times I even hid under the covers. But then, of course, got too hot. So I came back out again. He was waiting for me. He'd land on my forehead. I had the nerve to land on my nose. Landed anywhere he wanted to land. Landed on my ear. And I didn't have the strength to be awake enough to do anything about it. Finally, I called in desperation for my wife, who came in with a fly swatter and ended his miserable little life right then and there. But I really suffered for a long time. It seems like a dumb thing, but I suffered. Powerless to do anything about it. Powerless to, you know, get angry enough or be awake enough to do anything about it. And this little fly tortured me for what seemed like hours. God, it drove me nuts. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Goodbye. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hi.
Good evening, Art. How are you today?
Fine.
I wanted to talk about something Mr. Santilli said earlier in the week.
All right.
He said that he was receiving a little bit of friction from the UFO community for the fact that he wasn't being very altruistic with his tape, that he had economic means in line for it.
No, that's right.
And I find that kind of incredulous, because anybody I've ever seen in the UFO community, any self-proclaimed authority, always has an 800 number with something for sale for $29.95. Let me tell you, I have an 800 number. They're not cheap. They're in it for the money, too.
Yeah, 800 numbers are cheap now.
Yeah, and I find it's
a big bill. I mean, if you're selling something, it's a big bill. No, I thought Santilli's motivations were straightforward, and maybe a little more straightforward than a lot of the people in the UFO community, as you say, who are hawking this or that. Of course, everybody who comes on a radio show just about has written a book. Do you want to hold on?
Sure, I'd love to.
All right, where are you, Bob?
I'm in Santa Barbara. This is Steve.
Santa Barbara, KQSB.
Yes, sir.
All right, stand by. We'll be right back to you after the news at the top of the hour.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired July 21st, 1995.
From the high desert, good morning, everybody, and welcome back. I've got a number of comments for you, but we've got a caller on hold right now. Wanted to hold through the news, commenting on the Santilli interview we had the other morning. Actually, we did it twice, I think. We did it late in one program and then early in the next so you all could hear it. Hello there.
Good evening, Art.
Yes.
Yes, there's something else along the same lines I'd like to mention.
All right.
Although I've not had the benefit of seeing the five stills of Mr. Santilli's film, I think that the technological abilities today to create really convincing and stupendous forgeries with computer graphics and what have you is going to be incredible. And I guess until I see it live on CNN, ABC, NBC, and the Fox channel, just like I saw the O.J. chase, I'm still going to have my reservations.
However, a couple of things to bear in mind. One, these came from film that Kodak has dated as a minimum of, I think, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What we've got here is not a product of today's computer generation, and really that is not a concern in this case. We have had talk to lots of people who have seen the 16-millimeter original black and white film, so it's a little different.
Well, if I was a betting man and I had $100, I'd put $40 down that Mr. Santilli's tape is genuine, $10 saying it's a fake, and $50 for myself. and again, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I haven't seen his stills. And although the film may actually be from 47, we can't prove the date of the exposure.
Yeah.
And like I said, the ability to create incredible forgeries with technology will get better and better. So we're going to need more convincing proof to convince the general populace. But again, I try to keep an open mind.
All right, sir. Thank you. I would say, and I'm being honest with you, 90% of the faxes that I've received from people that have seen these photographs of the alleged alien abduction believe that it's real. And I'm going to stick my neck out, too, and it's been chopped off before, so who cares? I tend to think it's real myself. I guess that's why I've been paying so much attention to this. I think it's real. I think these are real photographs. Now, or the photographs are authentically taken from the 16-millimeter film, which I think is real. If I were a betting person, I would bet the larger bit of the money on it being real. I'm not saying I might not hedge it to some degree, but, and I've got my neck out a little here, I tell you, it looks real to me. It's the damnedest set of photographs I've ever seen in my life. And by the way, I said this yesterday, but I'm pretty proud of myself. I've done a lot of work on these, and I have sharpened them. I've done a lot of enhancement work, not changing the nature of the photographs, but getting more detail out of them than was originally in them. I've done a lot of work, and so we've got a wonderful set of five photographs that we have been given nearly exclusive permission by Ray Santilli to publish. They're going into the newsletter. The newsletter is going to be going out and will hit your house fully 2 or 3 weeks before the national release. So we've got some pretty hot stuff here. Art, I can't believe it. Racist cops on dope? Well, he's referring to the story that the ATF racist picnic, allegations now of rape, and drug use. Anyway, he says, Art, I can't believe it. Racist cops on dope. In America? I've had my suspicions, but now it's on TV, so it must be true. I think I'll go shoot myself. Signed, Stu. And this from Kathy. Dear Art, women have long been viewed as objects to be used by society. Yes, women take advantage of women, too. Of course, they not only are expected to be satisfied for less pay, but they often don't fight for the inequity. It's not only how men see us, it's how we see ourselves, and therefore pass the pattern on to our children. It's important to realize also that the income women bring in is often not necessary for basic survival of the family, but goes to support the excessive lifestyle that our current standard of living idealizes. How else would we be able to afford the luxuries we enjoy that are hedonistic by comparison with much of the rest of the world, and even with ourselves 20 years ago? Kathy, of course, has a very, very good point. And we've been talking about the weather, and I've got a good facts on it that argues with what the last caller from Minnesota said. She said, the weather's no different. Yes, it is, and I'll read you this facts in a moment. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art from Cogoland.
Hello.
Hey, I would be, the stuff about women using men's bathrooms.
Yeah.
I might be a little concerned if somebody like Betty Friedan or Bella Abzug walked in and was standing next to me using the urinal the same way I do.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're humored by all of this. I'm not. I think that if a woman came traipsing into the men's room while I was there, I would scream.
Yeah. Well, anyway, hey, when you were talking about, and this I remember about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was a inner-city minority activist, and he was talking about the problems with gun control, and he was shouting about how we have to make the manufacturer of firearms accountable, how we have to make the manufacturer
yes.
of ammunition accountable.
That's right.
And I was thinking what the finale to his tirade should be, we ought to make the makers of these children accountable. And, what I mean by that is that these people are parents of these kids who are doing this killing and this violence, and there should be responsibility and accountability on the part.
To what degree is the question? Thank you. And the story is, to briefly repeat, these two young thugs, black, walked into a gun store with robbery in their little heads. They ended up doing something they didn't have to do. They took a pipe and beat the guy to death. The widow is one of the kids, punks, was given life in prison because he was over the juvenile age. The other was a juvenile, be held until he's 21. But that's not the story in America anymore because that's commonplace. Punks beat somebody to death, that's commonplace. What is not commonplace is that the surviving widow of this man has decided to sue the families of the children for everything they've done. And she's doing it. And there is a bill that would allow it to be done in California on the governor's desk right now, even going beyond allowing a civil suit, almost mandating that it occur. Go after the parents. And I wonder how you all feel about that. A little bit scary on the one hand. You can argue, well, then, yes, the parents ought to be responsible. It is their prodigy. They created this child. They shaped and molded this child. Or you might argue, despite the best efforts of some parents, the children will go out and commit crimes. And therefore, the parents ought not be responsible for the sins of their offspring. I don't know. What do you think? Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Yes, are you familiar with the Revelations in the Bible?
The Bible. Let's see, I've heard of that. Revelations, yes, I've heard of that.
Okay. Did it ever occur to anybody that the quickening happens to have a lot to do with Revelation?
Oh, I guess it's brushed our minds.
Okay. Well, with this quickening, there's a lot of things going on across the earth. The weather's just one of them.
It is, but listen to this, and here is a fact. Dear Art, I have never been able to say this word. Weather stats don't lie. Meteorological. That's how it should be said. I have been working on a presentation, which I'll be putting blah, 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 on somebody else's show. Well, who cares? As I've mentioned to you before, a book called The Survival of Civilization warned that as this interglacial cycle closed, it would be heralded by over 300 years' time of increased wind speeds, increased tornado activity, downbursts, severe cold, intense heat, hail, torrential rains, and flooding. He's tried to call me, he says, many times, but without success. So, you know, I had a caller or a faxer from Wisconsin who said, basically, Art, we live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, 70 miles east of the Twin Cities. We're watching an hour-long weather special being broadcast on WCCO-TV, reporting unprecedented tornado and thunderstorm activity in the Twin Cities area. Began around 5:30 this evening, and the storms just continue to redevelop. They have interviewed pilots on the air who say they've never seen anything like it before this far north. And on and on and on. And apparently they're in the middle of them right now. And it is my observation the weather is changing. Or we're just having a very bad year, but I think arguably it is changing. It is becoming more severe. The weather, along with everything else, is going through a bit of a quickening. Art, about the ATF, what really boggles my mind about these guys is how they decide who is a threat and who's not. They claim that weapons in the hands of people like Randy Weaver and David Koresh is somehow a huge threat. Yet gangs in this country seem to have the run of the streets. Koresh and Weaver hadn't done anything yet to anybody. They simply wanted to be left alone. Yet gangs kill people every day, innocent people. Where is the ATF on this issue? Why aren't they beating down the doors of crack houses and confiscating illegal weapons held there, weapons which kill children, police, and anybody who happens to get in their way? And as far as the 14-year-old girl's testimony about being molested, though her testimony sounds genuine, isn't it convenient that David Koresh is not alive to defend himself? These hearings are a joke. Nothing will come of them, and as soon as they're over, it will be business as usual. And this, dear Art, you haven't touched on something you need to mention about women's bathrooms. I don't believe there is extra time spent in front of the mirrors. This is from Vince in Boulevard. Well, you're naive, Vince, but he does go on to make a good point. Did you ever notice women seem to go into the bathroom in pairs? It's true. This is especially noticeable at any athletic event, not stadium events, but little athletic events like girls' softball and so forth. Girls go to the bathroom in pairs. Why? To gab. Women gab, gab, gab. Vince in Boulevard. Yeah, I think Vince makes a good point, but I think there's still extra mirror time. I mean, the original Faxer talked about a time and motion study. And, you know, that I really believe that in any time motion study, ugly a thought as it might be, I think women just waste a lot of time and motion. And as Vince points out, they do go in pairs. It's like they can't go by themselves. They've got to have support, go with somebody they know. I never have figured that one out either, but it's just one of the many mysteries about women. Maybe some woman would like to call and explain, or even try to explain, why women use the restroom in pairs. Why it's important for one, in fact, they'll ask each other, you ready to go? Well, yeah, let's go. And up together they go, and they go. And we all know it takes time. So, you know, I don't know that their complaints are all that valid. I mean, last night's program showed women in very long lines trying to get into the bathroom, some of them looking very fidgety and nervous and anxious. And the men's room, available. And it's because for men, the bathroom is not a place where you socialize. It's a place where you go to get a job done, you know, and then you're out. Anyway, enough of that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art?
Yes.
Hi, this is Dennis in Houston.
Hi, Dennis.
I'm glad I got through. I want to talk about OJ.
Okay.
First of all, I'm enjoying watching it now. The DNA part was kind of boring, but now that the defensive case is sort of backfiring on him, I'm enjoying it. But
I guess I would translate that to mean you figure he's guilty.
Yes, I really do. But I want to get your opinion on a couple things. First of all, did you hear that Governor Pete Wilson said that the other day he was going to introduce a law that would only require 10 out of 12 guilty verdicts to put someone in jail?
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people talking about that. I've even heard of simple majorities to convict.
Yeah. I think he may be onto something there. But I just wanted to get your opinion, first of all.
You know, I want to say this about Pete Wilson. I don't much care for Pete Wilson. I find that while a lot of what he says I agree with,
mm-hmm.
I see him as a big bandwagon jumper. I mean, whatever it is, it's going by. It looks like it's going to be a wagon going to the White House. He's jumping on it. 187.
Yeah.
Affirmative action.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's going to get the nomination. I think it's going to be Clinton and Dole.
There is no way that a Republican convention is going to nominate somebody like Pete Wilson.
Yeah.
Anti-gun. Broke promises left and right. Raised taxes. Did all the things. Got George Bush knocked out of office. Is pro-life.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Hey, if they have to retry OJ, do you think that new law would take effect by then so that they only had to have 10 out of 12?
I think that Governor Wilson is anticipating a hung jury.
Yeah.
And positioning himself
to go that route.
Accordingly, yes, sir.
Yeah. Did you hear the that former juror, Michael Knox, he was on Tom Snyder the other night, and he said that he thinks this jury is going to reach a verdict. He said he thinks the prosecution did a good job.
Well.
But I'm not sure if I agree with that.
How many former jurors have we heard from? Quite a few.
Four or five.
And what would you say the scorecard's been?
Mixed.
So then the result?
Yeah, I know what you're, that's the way I feel.
And where did you say you are?
Houston.
Houston, that's right. All right, yeah. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, so all it takes is one. Now, I'll tell you, I really do agree with Governor Wilson. But that doesn't make me want to jump on the governor's bandwagon, because I really do view the man as the bandwagon kind of guy. As a matter of fact, I am not excited about the next election, which now is 480-some-odd days away. And, of course, it's well underway. We've got the figures here on how much campaign money has been raised by the various candidates. And I don't know why. I'm not very excited about anybody just yet. And I've interviewed several of them. I will interview several more of them. I would love to interview President Clinton, actually. Wonder if I could do that. He probably wouldn't come on the show, huh? I guess he doesn't like to put himself, or maybe he would, in a position where he'd get some hard questions. I mean, really hard questions. Because I could ask him. I've got a lot of questions I could ask this person. You know, maybe I ought to try. I haven't even tried. I haven't even really thought about it till now. Mentally, I can sort of, I get this picture of some Serb general, back from the front lines, attacking one of the safe areas, and this little blue-helmeted messenger running up with NATO's latest warning, and the general yawning, pulling the big old cigar out of his mouth, receiving the latest warning, and putting it on this big pile entitled NATO Warnings. That may be, I guess, a little cynical, isn't it? Cynical. But I bet it's close to the truth. So once again, we've warned you, attack Garajda, and we're coming from the air big time. Do you believe us?
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995. Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995.
Hey, Art. The rumored stories about women who are weary and miserable from standing in long restroom lines at restaurants and events are all true. The phenomenon has been occurring for 5 or 6 years. We have lots of time at that location to complain about this obvious inequity. Last weekend, I desperately braved the stronger sex, invaded their designated territory, and stood guard, enabling a few of us to use public facilities and get back to the event that we all had paid for. We are not created equal in this regard, as any time and motion study would reveal. Frankly, I believe too many men think that we have a bathroom fixation, and that this is something to tease us about. Well, we aren't laughing anymore, so if any architects are out there listening, please change this or prepare for more invasions from women with a purpose. SMA in Portland. Sorry. More invasions, huh? Promised. Boy. And this, here are the 2020 program tonight regarding the San Diego gun store owner that was beaten to death during a robbery. It appeared to me to have been done by a white and a black. You know, they may be absolutely right. This is even better. Now, is it racist to say it's a white guy and a black guy? Remember the black guy said he could have stopped the beating but didn't. Remember? Yes, of course, he did. And I didn't see the other. I'm not even sure they showed him. So on the other hand, though, I have a newspaper article here. It does show the other guy's white. So now it's not racist, thank God. Can we now just discuss the issue here, which is, I don't care what color they are, they beat a guy to death with a pipe. And the issue is, should the families be financially responsible to the widow for what their offspring did? Whatever color they are, who cares? I mean, really, who cares? The issue is the crime and compensation and the rest of her life and the fact she's never going to get her husband back, never. And I listened to a lot of whining from this kid, the one black kid who said, oh, I'm going to have to pay back $250,000. I'll be working the rest of my life to do this. Well, so what? So what? You know he's never going to do it anyway. And then there are the families, and they have some assets, and there is the question, should those assets be, in effect, confiscated? Dear Art, I spent a year in Japan as an exchange student with a Japanese family in Wakayama. We had several earthquakes over the course of the year, and the family dog, Wanta, always seemed to know it was coming. She acted a certain way, and we could always tell that it was coming. I guess a dog beats science. Ryan from Kogoland. Yep. If only scientists could bark, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art.
Welcome to the show.
How you doing? This is Robert and Everett.
Everett Washington, KBI, yes.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question.
All right.
Okay. In the last year, you've had one guest on who never, ever, had anything personally to sell, and that was John Lear. And I'm wondering what his whole take is on this photo from England from Mr. Santilli.
You know what, sir? You know what? I have not yet talked to John about that. But I really ought to. I don't know that John's even seen the photographs. I could certainly see to it that he will see them. I have them, and I can send them by computer to John. So that's a very good idea.
Okay, and one more thing.
Yes?
I want to...
Call us toll-free at 1-800-618-8255.
For that.
Well, you're Look, now you just used the word again. I can't allow that word to go on the air.
Okay, then
so now don't say
like it is the jerk, okay?
Well, now, it's not necessary to say that either. I mean...
Even if it's true?
All right, I apologize. All right. Goodbye. Before he says anything else, I can't air. I think I'm going to just hold this. It'll start too much trouble. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, hello, Mr. Bell. This is Joseph calling from Southern Pines, WEEB land.
Southern Pines, North Carolina, right?
Huh?
Southern Pines, North Carolina.
Yes, there it is.
Right.
And I'm glad I got into you. I really have been intrigued. The past couple months you were very complex and actually perplexed over Operation Black Hole and the facts that you had.
Oh, yes.
It was very, very, how do I describe it?
Freaked out.
Yes, sir. And there's some things, I guess since June is over, I guess we wait until December on whether Japan, Indian Ocean, going with the series of earthquakes, which your guest on Dreamland had talked about.
Gordon Michael Scallion,
the cycle
ending, or at least coming by the end of the year, he predicts. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see that now that June is over, to look towards December. And one last question: you had said something, or I had heard something by this was from a militia group in Montana,
yes,
which was talking about weather modification and had even alluded to the fact that the UN had, they had actually had some conferences in the mid-70s to this fact, and that they have the actual patents. Have you heard anything like this?
Yes, the Boutros weather machine. Sure, sir. Everybody knows about that. The Boutros, by golly, weather machine. Man, that's old news. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. This is John from Houston.
Okay, John, you're going to have to speak up like you mean it there. Get into that phone.
Okay.
Oh, that's much better.
Okay. I wanted to tell you that I downloaded the Roswell images the other day.
Yes, sir.
And they looked really sharp. I wanted to ask if you had inquired or talked with somebody who's good with anatomy to look at those things and see if they could shed any credibility on what those look like.
Yes, sir. I have a report from a pathologist, a written report from a pathologist who, in England, who is sort of a stodgy, very mainline-ish kind of pathologist, who doesn't go, you know, he kind of sticks his neck out a little bit and seems to imply, although there's no way to know for sure, clearly what he saw does not appear to be human.
But anatomically plausible is a variation on the human form.
Well, he commented, for example, on the brain. In other words, he was able to see the moving pictures that we have not yet seen.
Oh.
Where they actually exposed the brain and so forth and so on. So he saw good close-ups, though somewhat blurry, of the internal organs. And so he was able to comment as a pathologist, and he rather thought that... I'll tell you, this story is beginning to grow. I understand a number of television stations are beginning to pick it up now, and Congressman Schiff is getting involved and doesn't discount this film. This is getting to be a really big story.
Yes, it certainly seems that way. Can we expect any further sets of these photographs via internet?
Inevitably.
Yes, well, I look forward to that, yeah.
You know, but it may be a while down the line. Thank you very much for the call. And again, we do have them available on our bulletin board, which is up 24 hours a day. If you can get in, they're on the internet web. Our bulletin board number is area code 702-727-1709, and there is an entire new area entitled Roswell in there. It'll be flashing, and you simply choose that area, and that's where you'll find the photographs. Just wait till you see the processed, more detailed versions that I've got, which you will see soon, which will be published in our newsletter. All right. Back to the phones we go. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Wow, plan B worked.
Plan B worked. Yes, indeed.
Hi, this is Midiana in Portland. I usually call you on West of the Rockies, but I thought, what the heck?
That's brother. True.
I've got a comment about just about everything that you've brought up, but I'll synthesize it.
All right.
I was wondering if you were possibly open to opening up the alien line tonight.
The alien line.
Alien line, yeah. You do that on Fridays sometimes.
Sometimes. I'll mull it over.
Well, for two reasons. After that gentleman fact, that Serbian gentleman fact you, I was thinking, and I remembered yesterday, I remembered some prophecy that I had read about a month ago, and it was from, actually, it was a Serbian shepherd at the turn of the century. And it's quite, I guess it's quite well known in Serbia that each household has one. He predicted they would ultimately lose, but it would take a while. And he also predicted World War III. Being largely an air war, and that after whoever survived, it would be a period of peace where, how did he put it, people would no longer remember their birthday. You know, that people would live that long, and that kind of rang a bell with, you know, with what some of the other people had said. And also, I kind of just, for humanity's sake, I want to know if any, you know, if there's an old Christian proverb that you can't sit in God's eye, too often. So I just want to know if anybody in the cosmos noticed the, you know, courageous people of Saudi Arabia, if it mattered to anyone. And on another topic, I wanted to plug Dr. Goldberg. I don't know if you remember having him on, but...
Of course, I've had Dr. Bruce Goldberg on many times.
Yeah. Well, I ordered some of his tapes that, you know, that I was interested in, and, you know, people may not be interested in the subject, but one of them happened to be blank, the one I was interested in, and I called him the next day and left a message, and he was really sweet. He called me right back, and he sent me a replacement, and even sent me something extra. So just in these days of people not doing anything for anyone, right, I thought...
He's a great guy, and it's a great subject. Thank you, dear. Dr. Bruce Goldberg lectures and works in the field of past and future lives. I'm particularly intrigued at the concept of future lives. Obviously, reincarnation. Or a form of reincarnation, or just the way he happens to believe things are. And they have indeed progressed people into future lives. Pretty freaky, huh? Do you ever wonder whether we're really in control or just playing some great preordained play here on Earth? That while we think we have free will and free choice, all is actually preordained. And it is only our perception that we are following by choice a certain path. Don't think about that too hard. It'll drive you to the edge of madness. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Howdy.
Hello.
Art, this is Bill in Reddy.
Yes, sir.
And you guys were talking about affirmative action yesterday.
Indeed, we were.
Can you define affirmative action?
Yes, I can. Affirmative action is when you give a preference to somebody because of sex or color, or you give, as in a hiring preference, or you hire them in order to meet a quota. Keyword, action. In other words, you do something as an employer or as a school or as an institution which favors somebody because of their sex or their race.
Well, why I was asking this is the DMV is raising their wait fees and stuff, and it's all done on affirmative action. And the only thing I could figure for affirmative action is somebody says they're going to do something and they just do it. Is that about the breakdown of it?
No, I just gave you the definition, sir.
Well, then how did they raise the DMV fees just by saying that it's an affirmative action then?
Well, I suppose the very broadest sense of the phrase might include anybody who takes an action which is, in their estimation, affirmative. But in the more narrow sense that we talk about affirmative action, sir, it is a preference or a quota or an action because of somebody's sex or color. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I thought, but I thought I'd ask somebody else to see what they said on it.
All right. Well, that's what I say on it, sir. Otherwise, I guess you could say we are raising we're raising taxes, and we consider it to be an affirmative action. I don't know. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. All right, Bill. Excuse me. I turned off my radio there.
Good for you.
I want to let you know I've been listening to you for about 2 years and a half, and I'm calling from Reno.
Reno.
KOH.
Of course.
And I have some sad news.
Uh-oh.
I'm no longer listening to you, and
uh-oh,
I'll tell you why.
Then how come you're calling me?
Because I'll tell you why.
That's a very affirmative action.
No. You turned me on to a... You did in Bearcat XLT, won the last Mohicans.
Scanner, yeah.
And I find it more entertaining.
Well, it is entertaining.
I love it.
I'll blame you
a bit.
And
I'm hooked on it.
Yep, well,
and
that's
the
fine.
Reason why I'm listening to you tonight is because it's sent off to Sea Crane to be modified.
Well, now that you've told me all this, I'll just call Bob up and you'll never get it back.
Oh, I hope not, because I sure have been missing it. And I thank you so much. Your products, we've gotten gold roses. We've sent out absolutely fresh flowers. We've bought tuna and eaten salmon. And it's just been great. Now, I do listen to your first hour, and I do have my even my pastor listens to your program in the first hour.
Wow.
So I've got about possibly maybe 15 people out there listening to you. But now that I have this beloved scanner, it's all your fault. Have a good night.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm not sure how to react to that. It is true. Scanners are a trip, you know. I mean, find out what's going on in your community. If you have the guts for it. Now, if you have never listened to the police, for example, and you begin listening to the police, it's really going to freak you out. I'm not kidding. You have no idea what's going on around you. And frankly, scanners are not good for everybody because maybe there are some things that you don't need to know, that you shouldn't know, that will just, as I said, it will freak you out to know. The crime going on around you, you'll be suddenly aware and uneasy. So it is a mixed bag. But for those who like reality, it's really a trip. And I, too, love scanners. But it would be really rude for me to be listening to a scanner, as well as illegal, while I'm on the air. On the wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, hi, Art. This is Rick from Reno.
Hi. Another Reno call. Two in a row.
Yeah, I'm your mad factor. Usually I fax you, but had the night off. I wanted to comment on a caller earlier had mentioned that law in California allowing verdicts by 10 jurors.
Yes.
And, well, my understanding is it's already been killed in committee, but he had asked if it passed, could it be applied to OJ in a retrial? And my understanding on that is that anything along that line would be considered ex post facto, so he would still have to be tried according to the laws as they stand at the time the crime is committed.
Interesting. I was more interested in sort of the political aspect of it. I've been watching Governor Wilson very carefully, and he's a real bandwagon kind of guy, and there's something about that that bugs me.
Oh, yeah. I've watched him for quite a while. He jumps on any bandwagon, the polyclass thing. He decided to become tough on crime, and then...
Do you think... there's any chance at all that he could be nominated by a Republican convention?
No, but I think there's an excellent chance he could get a vice presidential nomination.
Oh, you bet.
You know, Bob Dole were to get the nomination, he might decide, well, I need California.
Oh, you betcha. Look, whoever gets the Republican nomination needs California.
Yeah,
and so that's got to put him right up there at the top of the list. Now, given a choice, let's say Dole got the nod.
Uh-huh.
Given a choice between Governor Wilson and Colin Powell.
Yeah.
That'd be a hard choice.
Well, no, it's a no-brainer. It's Colin Powell, but I don't think he's interested.
Well, you say it's a no-brainer, but the election literally depends on California.
Yeah.
And if Clinton loses California, he loses the election. I mean, that's all there is to it. It's gone. He's history.
Yeah. I don't know if he can even win it with California. It's hard to imagine a state he could carry right now, but you never know what's going to happen. Dole is, he's not that inspiring.
I'm not inspired, frankly, yet, really at all. I hate to say that, but I'm not. I have not yet become excited. Maybe.
Well, neither have I.
Maybe it's a little early. Listen, I've got to run. We've got a break coming up here. All of them, and I like Pat probably, Buchanan, best of the bunch, but still, I mean, I'm just... And why not? Why am I not excited? We'll be right back.
to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995.
Dear Art, the cheap and simple solution to the bathroom problem, remove all of the mirrors. JK in Oregon. Well, that's not a bad... I'll tell you what we could do. You could sure make a study, couldn't you? You could have two ladies' rooms, and in one of them, you could remove all of the mirrors. And in the other, you could leave them in. And then you could see, over a period of time, just like with the little highway counters, how fast they go in and how fast they come out. Maybe we could prove something there. I am suspicious, and I think that our friend of the facts here a little while ago had it right, of women who go in pairs to the bathroom. Does any woman out there, wish to try to explain that to all the men out here? Probably not. From Bryn Marie in San Francisco, same subject, bathrooms. I don't suppose you've thought of this, or maybe you have, but it's not as easy for women to perform, number one, as it is for a man. We have a lot of clothing to undo, generally. If we're out for an evening function, there's pantyhose involved and so forth. Yeah, I know all that. The reason it takes longer for a woman to perform the same bodily function as a man is we have to get undressed. Believe me, primping has nothing to do with it. Honest. I've had the occasion to be in bathrooms labeled for either or neither gender, and men primp too. Oh, yeah? Hardly. Bryn, if I could get away with unzipping one zipper to answer nature's call, I certainly would. Signed, Bryn. Well, look, I am allowing, and I do understand, that women have clothing that men don't that must be removed. Fine. Having said that, and even allowing for that, I'd be willing to wager you money that a time and motion study, as suggested by an earlier faxer, would clearly show that women primp more, gab more. I mean, if not, then I want someone to call and explain to me why they go in pairs. Men don't do that, I guarantee you. Men don't do that. You never turn around, hey, Joe. You ready to go? Well, yeah. Well, not yet. No, let's wait a while. Well, I can't. Well, okay, then we'll go. Never, I guarantee. There's never a conversation like that between men. Never. Why is there among women? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Yes. Have you ever heard of stories about aliens from outlaws from the West, like William Bonney, a.k.a. Billy the Kid?
I've heard of Billy the Kid. Yeah, your phone sounds terrible, sir. What kind of phone are you on?
Oh, I'm calling back. This is that $19.95 family dollar phone that I bought, I told you about.
So I didn't like it last time either. You've got to get yourself a new phone, sir.
Have you seen the time-lapse pictures of Billy the Kid?
Have I seen the what pictures?
Time-lapse.
Time-lapse?
The still photos.
No. Well, I mean, in my life, I suppose I have, yeah.
Well, they're pretty interesting.
All right, sir, thank you. But your phone is, you've got to get a better phone. You're all muffled and you're hard to hear, and you need a new phone. Don't buy cheap phones. I'm telling you, people, don't buy cheap phones. Now, maybe it's cool with him because he can listen to me. He doesn't have to listen to himself. The rest of us have to listen to that muffled phone. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi there. It's Mickey in Belltown.
Hi, Mickey.
How is Arturo this morning?
Reasonably well, thank you.
Well, I have been wondering how the lack of courtesy and respect might be affecting young people and crime in general.
Well, why do you wonder about it? It's obvious.
Well, it is obvious. And I'm disturbed because I hear so... Well, one example, I never hear any of your callers, except myself, refer to the president as president.
I call him president.
Well, it's Bill or, you know, well...
Billary or... Yeah, but,
yes.
you know... Look,
I think
it's nothing new. If you don't like a president, then you don't give him respect.
And I remember I
you respect
for years
the office.
For years they said that cheap actor that
no
yes
listen,
they did
no,
too.
No. I listen, you know I'm a liberal.
That second rate actor. Don't you remember people calling him the second rate actor? Come on.
Listen, I at that time call in programs were almost all hosted by liberals.
I was doing a call-in program then, ma'am.
Well, I didn't get you at that time.
Well, but I'm telling you the way it was, and I'm telling you what liberals came on and called Ronald Reagan, everything in the book.
Well, I never heard it, but I know that I personally and none of my liberal friends personally ever did that. I just think that
you never said disparaging word about Ronald Reagan.
You can criticize a person's actions without disrespecting the office.
You never heard the phrase the Teflon president, huh?
I don't think that's disrespectful. I think that shows they thought he was artful, and he was.
Well, okay. So then, if the Teflon president means an artful president, then Slick Willie means an artful president. President Clinton.
Yes, but
very artful.
Well, in the field of politics, both of them certainly Reagan was, and Bill is, whether you like it or not.
I even object to the use of their two names in the same sentence.
Bless your heart.
I'll see you later. Yes, the Teflon president, why, that's just referring to an artful man. Finally a phrase that she had at least heard. So then Bill is no doubt particularly artful, isn't he? Slick Willie. It's just a way of paying the man a compliment, saying how adept he is at the world of political intrigue and dodging and the ability to answer any question put to him with no sort of answer at all. That's slick. Artful. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, Art.
Hello.
It's Jim from Tuscaloosa, Alabama again.
Hi, Jim.
How you doing tonight?
Fine.
That's good. Listen, I hadn't heard you come in on your book. How's your book coming along?
Well, it's a secret.
It's a secret?
No, it's coming along fine.
What kind of cover are you going to have?
It is being specifically designed for the book by a man, a commercial artist, who did live in Tennessee and now lives in Las Vegas.
Hmm.
And he sent me a portrait caricature as a present.
Yeah.
And the publishers who are publishing my book came to visit me about a month ago or more.
Yeah.
And they saw this and they said, "My God, what a wonderful book cover."
Yeah, listen, I had a kind of an idea, like maybe you might be interested in putting on the cover.
What?
How about you and your wife and your cats?
Well,
in times of Art Bell.
Well, you know, that's...
I like to see cats.
Well, you're going to see them. There'll be photographs of my cats in there.
Oh, are they?
Oh, come on now. Would I write a book with...
Hey, look, I got a lady that lives next door to me. She got about 15 or 20 cats.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's a cat lover.
Yeah.
And those are the well-behaved cats you have ever seen.
All of them?
Yes, sir. They don't never. I got a bass boat out in the bag. You know how cats like to get up and stuff. They don't even get my boat. And she adores them. You'll see them when she had a little bitty baby. You can hear them over there going meow.
You can
hear them all the way across the yard.
If I was a cat, I wouldn't get in a boat either. I mean, the only thing around you then is water. All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. Of course, as a matter of fact, I have got some of the best. I'm holding back all the good stuff, you know. For my book. Can you blame me? The really good stuff I'm holding back. I've got a picture of my 17-pounder actually smiling. It is a gosh darndest cat picture you've ever seen in your... It's a close-up of his face, and he's smiling. There's an actual cat smile on his face. There will be photographs of Shadow, my new cat, who is the most lovable cat I have ever seen in my whole life. God, she wants to make friends with my big cat so badly. She comes up and she does things like lick his face. What does it do? It just ticks him off. He's been in a foul, spitty mood ever since she showed up. and she pushes him around. It's really kind of embarrassing. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, my name is Arthur.
Your name is Arthur?
Right.
What a fine name that is. Where are you?
Way up here in Presque Isle, Maine.
Presque Isle, Maine?
Right.
Well, I'm sure glad to have you on the show.
And I was wondering, have you ever heard tell the book Alien Abductions, UFOs, and the conference Massachusetts Institute of Technology?
No, I didn't know they did anything on it at all.
Okay, well, they put out a book. It's about 450 pages or so, put out by C.D.B. Bryan.
I'll be darned.
And that was taking place in 1992. And I just thought maybe you might be interested in maybe either having that this person on your show, or maybe you might even be interested in picking up the copy of the book yourself and reading it yourself.
I'll put it on the list.
Okay.
Before you go, I want to ask, Maine, you're way, way, way up there in the northeast corner. Has your weather this year been what you would call normal or weird?
Sort of weird. It's been really dry.
Dry?
Yeah. We usually get a little bit more precipitation, but this year it's been awfully dry. And just yesterday, we got a little bit of rain.
Huh.
So
all right.
Anyway, so where are you located there, Art?
Well, I just finished talking about that. I'm located in my own home.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. How about that? I do my show from home. Isn't that cool?
Well, you don't have to travel very far, do you? That must be nice.
It is. I used to have to drive 120 miles a day.
Okay.
So it was a pretty serious change when I got to do it from home.
Okay.
Now it's about 20 feet.
Okay. Another quick question.
Yes.
How long have you been on having this show?
About a decade.
About a decade?
Yep.
Because there used to be other shows on here. I just started hearing your program over the last couple of weeks here.
Well, that's because we're beginning to take over.
Okay.
We own the night. It's a slogan. Thank you very much for the call. Presque Isle, Maine. You see, it's true, you know, a lot of people who are hearing this program are doing so nearly for the first time because we're spreading now in the East so quickly. It's really almost frightening. It's 192 affiliates, I think, right now. We're going to be celebrating 200 very quickly. And we have become the preeminent all-night show in America, simply, truthfully, and pleasantly. I like it, but I don't think about it. I've been doing this show for 10 years. It used to be called, originally, when it was on KWN, that was the Seed Pod station, the alma mater, however you want to put it. It used to be called West Coast AM. Then it syndicated, then the syndication took off, and now... Anyway, I try not to think about that a lot because it makes me nervous. First-time caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. Bob from Illinois.
Hi, Bob.
Just a comment about Mr. Clinton. I don't have the audio clips from the 6 o'clock news, but bear with me. I think this will ring a bell. Remember shortly after Oklahoma, the president said at a nationwide broadcast that no American has the right to criticize any federal law enforcement official. Remember anything like that? The media didn't play it up as big as they should, but he was basically telling us we didn't have any right to free speech or to criticize our government.
I recall something, I don't know if that was the exact context.
It was very, very, very close to what I just described.
Something like
that. And, of course, now he is on the television the last several days haranguing against the good old boys in this FBI weekend, you know, scandal kind of thing.
BAT.
Criticizing the federal, well, whoever they were, criticizing the federal officials.
Well, actually, I thought the criticism was rather muted because he said that anybody behaving that way should go find another job. I mean, that was the most the biggest sort of downside to that sort of behavior that he seemed to talk about. Go find another job. Anybody else, throw him in jail for 10 years.
He knows about aberrant behavior and how, you know, if you get away with it as governor, you ought to be able to get away with it as president, and so you go find another job. Other concern I have is that I'm convinced that there's a lot of rotten fish regarding Vince Foster and Whitewater and everything else, but my concern is if we find that and get rid of Clinton, perchance, then the Democrats might come up with somebody respectable to run, and I'm not sure the Republicans have anybody. I mean, I'm very Republican, but I'm not impressed with the Republican field, and I'm concerned about what's going to happen in 96.
There's some good men there, but I'm not excited yet, and you're on a portable phone.
Yeah, and I apologize. That's all I've got, and
all
I know
right,
you don't
well,
like them, so
all right, well,
I'm finished.
I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. I mean, it was bearable. I could just tell by the hum. Which is why you should buy the Tropay so you don't have that rotten hum. And then if a neighbor's on, why, of course, you've got other problems because then there'll be what's called a carrier interference, and it really sounds awful to the degree that you can't even hear who you're talking to sometimes. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Hi.
Tom, quick. Okay, we got the radio off.
All good. Where are you?
We're up in Washington.
Way up in Washington.
Yeah, way up in Washington.
Okay.
And I don't want to upset you or nothing, but this is your alien friend.
You're an alien?
I called because I have an answer to your question that you asked about a female.
Sound like a young female alien.
Yeah, pretty young. First off, I love President Reagan. I think in my book that he was the best president there ever was. And I didn't vote for last night's garbage. Anyway, the reason why girls go to the bathroom in pairs, and sometimes even more than pairs,
yes,
is it's the safest way for us to go to the bathroom. We know that we are safe if we're together in a group.
Why would you?
If you're one alone, some bad guy might grab you and hurt you.
On the way to the bathroom?
On the way to the bathroom. Nothing's safe on this earth. That's why we have not brought forth our craft. We are scared of these people.
But women were going, arguably, together to the bathroom in pairs, or more, as you put it, even before... I mean, when I was young.
Correct.
So,
did your mother not ever tell your sister that if you ever go out, make sure you go out double dating only? And if you go to the restroom or to some other place, make sure you go in pairs? Didn't your mother ever say that to your sister?
I wouldn't have any idea.
You have no sister?
I have two sisters, but I would not have been part of that conversation.
I guess that in this day of time, we females speak about things more openly than we did in those days and times.
All right, well, from an alien, and a young one at that, there is an apparent answer. I don't know if I believe that. Fear? Really? Fear? Is that it? Afraid to go to the bathroom? Come on, I don't believe that. At fairly prestigious events, where though the line may be long, it's safe. No, I don't think I buy that. There's more to it than that. There is a social thing about it, I suspect. Something about it. Some social interaction that only can occur when two ladies go to the restroom together. So I'm not buying the safety thing. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Bitchin'. Hi, Art. How you doing?
Bitchin'.
Glad to talk to you.
Well, glad you're here. Where are you calling from?
I'm from Medford, Oregon.
Medford, K-O-P-E.
Yes, sir, and the weather's gorgeous. It's cool and breezy and thundery and lightning.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I understood there was a storm, I guess, what was it, to the north of you that really was producing quite a show of lightning?
Yes, it was spectacular, quite enjoyable. I hope my phone isn't too bad.
This phone sounds good.
Oh, good. It's a portable. A couple comments on the Waco thing, discussions, and my observations are that there's such a polarization, and it annoys me and concerns me, and it's so obvious. You'll never see this on the evening news, obviously, but it's incredible that they can get anything done on either side with the bickering and such, but I think some good things will come out of it. And there is a flag in that room, and maybe you can help me with this. And that American flag has a gold or yellow fringe around it, and I don't understand that.
It's a secret.
Oh.
It's actually an Admiralty flag, sir. There's nothing unusual about it.
Okay, I just wondered. I was curious.
All right.
I wasn't trying to start any speculation or anything. Hey, thanks for the opportunity. Great
show.
All right,
see you later. Yeah, that's an old one on talk radio. What's the fringe? My God, it can't be American. Yes, it is. I do indeed love radio. I'm going to be writing a lot about behind the scenes in the book. I haven't mentioned the book a lot lately, but I'm definitely deeply into it now, and there's going to be a whole lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. So much so that it may be important that I die shortly after it's published. For I have determined I am going to tell all. Will it be kiss and tell? You'll have to wait and see. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995. Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995.
It's just real exciting music, isn't it? Good to be here. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Whatever's on your mind, it's open lines. We don't screen calls. And we're never going to. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Dr. Democrat.
Ah.
Well, good morning, Art.
Proof that we don't screen calls. Yes, Doc, what's going on?
You know, affirmative action is not going to benefit the Republicans. It's going to benefit the Democrats. Did you see the latest polls?
Well, if the original premise of affirmative action is true, Doc, the Democrats need it.
Well, the latest polls say that 65% of the American people want to mend it, not end it. And that's exactly the position Bill Clinton took.
Let us hear you explain precisely what that means.
It means that even the Supreme Court said that some affirmative action programs have worked and we should not end it. What they should end is quotas and preferences and what have you.
Like the president said, huh?
Exactly.
Okay,
in other words,
then what I'm wondering, Doc, is how do you have the action part of the affirmative without some of those?
Well, the thing of it is...
Now, explain that. Come on.
Well, no, it's a difficult issue, but here's the thing.
It's impossible, actually. What the president said is impossible.
There's other elements of concern besides quotas and what have you.
Yeah?
American people think this is race baiting.
The American people think it's racist, is what they think.
No, if you divide this country along those lines, there could be serious social problems ahead.
Riots?
It's the attitudes. It's the mentality that a lot of people have, you know, minorities and what have you. They think they're being treated unfair.
You mean like no preference, no peace?
Well, some people feel that way,
yeah.
Not most people.
That's really what you're saying.
No, the fact of the matter is, and they did another poll, between Clinton and Dole,
yeah.
And they asked who could handle affirmative action better. 44% said Clinton, only 36% Dole. So I don't think Dole
I would consider that a I would consider that a badge of honor for Bob Dole.
Well, here's the thing. I think what's happening here is that Clinton and the Democrats are stealing issues from the Republicans.
Well, they are. Yeah, it's true.
They're turning them around, and the Republicans are getting a backlash.
Well, what's actually happening is not Democrats, because they're not really with Clinton here. He's beginning to run against his own party.
Well, he's running in the center where the mainstream is, and that's very intelligent.
Which is not where his party is.
Well, here's what happened. The Republicans abandoned the center. They left the center. So Clinton said, hey, there's an opening there, and I might as well be the guy to take it.
Uh-huh.
And Republicans are still staying way out there far right.
Look, Don,
and they're losing points every day.
I will admit, Bill Clinton has never feared to voyage to any political location which would gain him personal popularity.
And as far as that, how about that 14-year-old girl? Wasn't that the best strategy the Democrats have ever used? She was a surprise witness. The Republicans had no idea that the Democrats were going to bring her up on the first day.
Yes, that was very good PR.
They turned the Waco hearings right around. Right now, the Republicans are in big trouble because of the NRA and that girl's testimony. Mm-hmm. Now, it was proven that the NRA is part of the Republican investigation on Waco, and the people can't stand the NRA. About 80% of the people think they are extremists. And so the Republicans, this whole investigation that the Republicans tried to carry out to hurt Clinton has backfired on them.
Well, aren't you proud, Doc, that you were able to take what should be an investigation to get to the truth about a serious matter why 80 people died, including a lot of children, Doc, and divert attention from the truth? Yeah, it's really something to be proud of, Doc. I hope you're really proud of that, and you obviously are, because you don't care about the truth. All you care is about politics. You really are a wonker's wonk, and you belong in the White House, if the president does. First-time caller line, you're on the air.
How you doing?
I'm doing.
I think that what Doc, Democrat, said is just a bunch of crap.
Well, yeah, of course it is.
I mean, I don't know. I'm 24 years old, and I'm just really sick and tired of hearing all this just crap. I mean, I don't know what else to call it.
No, it's crap.
So
I mean, you've got it right. It's crap. It's definitely crap. That was a bunch of crap. He couldn't identify, couldn't even begin to identify what affirmative action is if it's not quotas and racism. He just sort of skipped over it.
I mean, what is it? I am not that stupid. You know, and I don't know anybody.
Well,
any of my friends.
Maybe not your friends, but maybe enough to cause a re-election of Bill Clinton. Don't discount that.
Well, you know, I don't know what this world is coming to, but it really scares me. You know, it really honestly scares me. I don't know what to think.
Well, before it goes to completely to hell, sir, you can always fool them and die.
Well, I'm going to do all I can to make sure that, I mean, at least mine is secure. You know what I mean?
I do, and that's all you can do in all probability. You can take some global or national action, but the majority of what you can do is right there at home.
And that's where it starts.
You got it. Thanks for the call. That caller is exactly right. Exactly right. Wild card line, you're on the air.
This is Al?
Yeah, this is Al.
How you doing, Art? Just kidding, yeah.
Oh.
Hey, you know what? I want to make a comment to you about your book. You're writing your book, but before I get to that real quick, there was a guy about a week ago, and he called you, and would you agree that people's voices are very similar to fingerprints, almost maybe not as detailed, but yet they all
I would, yes. I have a very good memory for voices.
Exactly. And it's very obvious, I think, myself, too, as far as what I hear, people's differences in their voices. A guy called, and he asked you, he was confused about a fellow who called the week before, and you threw out the name Charlie, but that wasn't the caller's real name who had called. He made a comment that this guy sounded like the cartoonist who wrote you up in that cartoon. He said that
Benson.
He thought he heard that guy call.
Benson.
And he was right. There was a guy who sounded exactly like that cartoonist.
Look, I don't doubt it for a second. I'll bet you Benson listens to my show.
Exactly.
I bet he's out there right this minute.
It may have been a brother.
Down in Phoenix.
But somebody very close to him, if not him, was calling you, and you could tell just by the way he pronounced his words and the way he spoke. But I don't think you picked up on that one necessarily. Maybe I don't remember what the show was.
Benson specializes in the distasteful. You know, I saw he did a cartoon on priests and child abuse. It was truly disgusting.
You got to bring that one up. I would like to see a picture of that one. As far as your book and writing your book, I'll give you a hint to make it look like a real fat, thick one. What you want to do is just write on one side of the page and stick in there about 100 pictures. And I might even be myself willing to go down and buy one if you put one at the top of your head in there. I'd like to see if there's a...
The top of my head?
Yeah, you know, don't call me Art, don't call me the Antichrist Bell.
Well, you wouldn't be able to... I mean, I'd have to shave my head to prove that.
Just kind of part it a little bit.
But then they'd all say, well, he parted a place where the numbers weren't.
Yeah, I guess you got a controversy on
that. Yeah, all right, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, there was some guy who thought I was the Antichrist. Really, seriously, thought I was the Antichrist. Can you imagine one day, you know, your hairline starts receding? And you see a little something there, you know, a little number. And you, part of a number, you know. And you pull a little more of your hair back. And there it is. 3 sixes on your receding forehead. Well, actually your scalp. But you don't learn until you get, say, into your mid-40s or early 50s where your hairline is. My hair has not receded, by the way. I've got more hair. God, my hair grows so fast. But, I mean, a lot of men have receding hairlines. And all of a sudden it recedes to the point where you begin to see the number. Ooh, wouldn't that be something? East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. First of all, that young man that called sounds very encouraging. And I like to see the young people like that in Washington, you know, after they did some heavy reading on, like, the CFR and the, you know, trilateralists and that. I'd like
you,
to
you
see
want,
him
you
in
want, you actually like to see him go and join the CFR, huh?
No. You hear me? I said I'd like to see him.
Well, maybe after they read about the CFR, they would decide they liked it. And,
no, they wouldn't.
And one world and one government and one everything sounds good. And they'd like to be part of that. So they
sounded pretty smart. He could figure out what the CFR is all about.
We could go join the junior CFR club.
They tell you plainly in their foreign affairs. Okay. First, I got two things. You know the man that sang you the song? That was the little drummer boy song. It's a Christmas church song.
I know what it was,
okay,
but it
good.
Made fun of the name of my town, and I didn't take it well.
I think he was trying to compliment you, but anyway, maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, Art, could you have a guest who's knowledgeable about ELF waves and electromagnetic weather control who can explain to us how weather can be controlled?
What do we need a guest for? I know exactly how it's done. We don't need a guest for that.
Well, I would like to know how it's possible.
I got a little knob over here. I'll tell you, boy, when I turn it, thunderstorms, what do you want, dry weather? You want a big collision of a high-pressure and low-pressure system in tornadoes? I got it down to such fine degree that I can actually predict where the tornado box they're going to be drawing the next day is going to be. Now, that's control. Magnetically. RF. RF in combination with rotating magnetics. We can pin it right down. Call it to the degrees and seconds. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
What's that, Bell?
Probably.
I'm calling from Billings, Montana.
Billings, Montana.
Yes, about the women going to the bathroom.
Yes. Do you have an admission to make, or
no?
No.
I don't know. I just have to have someone to go with me. And
you say you do have to have someone?
No, I don't.
Well, but many women do.
Yeah, that's true.
So why?
I have no idea. On
Since
that.
You're not part of it.
No, but one thing.
You've got a very bad line.
I know. In the bathroom. There's only so many boots, and it takes a long time for women to move through the line that way.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm going to leave the line because it's really awful. It's crackling and crunching, and you need to call the phone company and tell them to get out there. The sound you just heard, that kind of a whining sound, is usually produced by some sort of resistance, frequently water. So a lot of times the sound you just heard means you've got water in your lines. And you need to have a phone company out, and they need to come take a look at it. Anyway, so she was an individual, denied pairing with other women. But we all know, most men know, that most women do it. So what do I get the exceptions? Anybody out there want to admit it and tell why? Comment for Doc Democrat. Yes, I thought it was very clever of the BATF to save those children from child abuse by burning them to death. Well, I certainly never would have thought of that. Paul, listening to KFYI Phoenix. Huh. Well, I'll tell you, you've got to pre-read these. I bring them in. I bring these in and read them as I read them. And fortunately, early on in my life, I learned to scan a sentence ahead because a lot of these faxes are simply not arable. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, KSO, Sioux Falls.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Right.
Excellent.
I just wanted to, about the bathroom issue. I just have an observation.
What?
Why women take longer than men.
Well, okay. I mean, we know about the clothing part. Now, give us something beyond that.
Okay, have you ever tried to fight with the toilet paper dispensers in public bathrooms?
Now, how do you figure that's, well?
Well, see, guys just shake it off and they're on their way.
Well, yeah. All right. That's maybe a little something. Yeah, they are annoying. Sometimes you can't find the end. There is no end there. It just keeps turning.
Right. Or sometimes there's none, and you have to get some from your neighbor passed under the stall. So that's one idea.
I don't think I'd ask. Hey, over there, how about some paper? Can you pass some paper over? I've never done such a thing. My big question is, why do women go in pairs? Now that really is an important question, because I think it adds to it. Now, you can't tell me that two girls who don't know each other and feel like gabbing don't use the opportunity to go to the bathroom as a place to gab.
Well, yeah, we do.
See, men don't do that. So,
well.
So if you're looking for an honest-to-God difference between men and women and bathroom time, you know, I mean, it's getting serious, and women are breaking into men's bathrooms and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
You have?
Only in bars.
Really?
Well, just a couple of times.
See, to me, that's frightening.
Well, I don't make a practice of it, but...
Well, let me try this out on you.
Okay.
If a man were to do the opposite and break into a woman's room, what do you think would happen to that man?
Well, he'd probably get...
Jail time. Jail time is what he'd get. All right, thank you very much for the call, but I think we can all see through it. Can't we, guys? The two women at a time thing is what busted you. See, everything else might be explained. Yeah, sure, a little extra time because you got to fool with the dispenser. I'll give you that. But given that, there's still a gigantic disparity to the degree that women are breaking into men's rooms now. And I say that is caused primarily by two women going at a time. Now, if women would stop that practice, I'll bet you the time in the bathrooms would be cut by, I'm going to say by half. And how much would that alleviate the problem? Probably, totally. Wouldn't even be an issue. So, we got into a little truth this morning about this. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Scott calling on Cougar.
Yes, Scott.
Just calling to let you know that about 2 days ago, I uploaded some new Roswell pictures to you. And included in those pictures are two extreme close-ups of the face. And
I've already seen them, but the problem with them is that they're distorted too much. The process of getting close distorts it, almost giving it a fisheye-like appearance.
Well, some of them are that way because...
That is not representative of the original photograph, so...
Well, not all of those are from the original photographs. For example, there's the close-up of the leg.
That I thought was very good.
And there's also...
And then the times two close-up was good.
Right.
When you get too far in, you know, you get into the pixels, and I think the usefulness is reduced.
Right. Well, those photos are being analyzed by MUFON people.
I see.
Right now. And that's why the extreme close-ups are there. They're looking for wires and various other types of contraption.
Yeah.
But I thought that the close-up of the upper torso, where they're cutting into the neck and
yeah.
upper chest cavity, was very good. And I was wondering if you're going to include those in your newsletter as well.
No, I don't think so. We're going to include the original five. And if you listen to the interview with Ray Santilli, Santilli, we have permission only to publish the five. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. What is your first name?
Corey.
Corey.
Yeah.
And where are you, Corey?
I'm on Stanwood.
You're where?
Stanwood.
Stanwood what?
Washington.
Washington. Yeah. All right, good. Go ahead.
I got a little idea why women go to the bathroom in groups.
Why?
I think it's because they're trying to figure out some way how to make our lives just a little bit more miserable.
Oh, that one doesn't really wash. I mean, so what if they both get up and go together? Who cares? Why would that affect the lives of the men who are going to sit there and watch the event anyway? There's a deeper buried sociological reason that women are refusing to talk about, else one would have called up by now and told the truth, and they haven't. Have you noticed?
Yeah, a little bit.
I get one woman who claims to be a rebel from Montana. But all my life, and I never thought about it until the guy faxed me, all my life I've noticed it's a truth. Women do that, but it never occurred to me before, except now they've got this big thing where women are complaining there's not enough bathrooms for women. And so they're going into men's rooms. And so there's some very serious reason, sir, thank you, why they go together. Sociological reason. I don't know what it could be. But I know that it is part of the problem. And the sooner they realize that, the sooner they'll have to stop breaking into men's rooms because they don't have enough time. That's what I think. Well, I'm going to take the time now to pre-read a couple of these faxes so that I don't lose my career instantly. My language, people, language. I know you get upset about these issues, but come on now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995. Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired July 21st, 1995.
Hey, Art Limbell. Why, when you thought that both kids in the pipe beating were black, you felt it was relevant to mention their race? When you found out the truth, that one of the beaters was in fact a white boy, then you changed your racist tune to say that race wasn't important. I dare you to read this over the air. Unsigned, of course. Normally, it has become my practice not to read things that people dare me to read over the air. But I read this because this guy's all wet. You missed the whole point, or you didn't hear it. The point wasn't what color the kids were who did the beating. The point was, and the controversy was, and the time I spent unwinding it was, whether the kids, of any race, it didn't matter whether the victim ought to be able to sue the parents of those children, black, white, or purple. That was the story. As a matter of fact, the only one they didn't show, the white kid, they showed only the black kid, the one who said, well, I could have stopped it if I'd wanted to, but I didn't. That's the only one they showed. And I had it in another fax that they were both black. It doesn't matter. If they'd both been white, it wouldn't matter. Criminals are criminals are criminals. That's what, I guess, the truth is. And there is a fact, and there is a statistic that clearly shows there is more black crime per capita than white. But that's a totally different argument. And that's also not racist. It's just a fact. Again, though, in this particular story, the controversy was with regard to whether or not the survivor of the victim of the kids ought to be able to sue the parents of the kids. And in California, they're prepping to be able to allow that as a matter of fact, automatic thing. Dear Art, a terrifying thought. The Republicans may not solidify behind any one candidate. Or if they do, perhaps Perot or Powell will step in as an independent, splitting the conservative vote. Clinton awakens one day with a conscience and withdraws from the campaign. Jesse Jackson is then elected. Clinton is no longer the worst president in U.S. history. I have nightmares about this one, Jeff in Livermore. And then finally, this. Dear Art, on this restroom situation, the lack of knowledge and understanding from you men is really making me angry. Primp time in front of the mirror and gab time with a girlfriend are not the reasons that it takes so long to get one woman in and out of a bathroom stall. Please take into consideration the following movements undertaken by any woman in a public facility. 1. Open door to stall. 2. Lock door to stall. 3. Find a place to put handbag. 4. Line the seat with paper. 5. Undo belts, buttons, zippers, etc. 6. The obvious. 7. Redo belts, buttons, zippers, etc. 8. Unlock door and wash hands. Now, if women, she says, would not redress themselves inside the stall, it would definitely help. Lynn, listening in North Hollywood. I don't buy it all, Lynn. List or not, I don't buy it all. There is a reason women go together. It's a sociological reason. And I don't believe that they don't gab. I don't believe they don't talk. I know damn well they go to the restroom to talk about the guys, right? So are they talking stall to stall? Probably not. When do they do their talking? They get out and they look in the mirror and they primp and they talk about what's going on and the guys and stuff like that. And they talk and talk and talk. And that's so, in other words, a lot of this complaint about not enough bathroom time is the woman's fault, isn't it? They just don't want to face up to it, but it's the truth. And I'll tell you this. There's damn little conversation that goes on between men. You women don't know. Those of you who haven't yet broken into a men's room wouldn't know. Men don't use it as a social gathering place. You go in there, you get your business done, and you leave. It's not a place where you talk about events or friends or have casual little conversations. Or do this or that. Yes, granted, no handbag. Maybe that takes an extra second or two. But basically, the problem is much deeper, and it has to do with talking. And women just don't want to admit that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art, Libertarian Nationalist.
Yes.
Are you familiar with that famous profile of FDR wearing the hat with the cigarette holder clenched between his teeth?
Of course.
Somehow I picture Doc Democrat having that tattooed on one arm and a donkey on the other.
Well, after my book, you won't have to wonder. I'll have a photograph in there of him.
Oh, okay. Well, good deal. Say, as far as the good old boy roundup.
Yes?
I think I know how the FBI is going to handle this investigation. I think their report is going to read something as follows. Yes, there were some racist incidents at the picnic, and perhaps there was a sexual assault and some drug use. However, all the wrongdoing was done by retired agents, and we have instructed current active duty agents to stay away from those picnics in the future.
Well, actually, you would think if all was going on that has been alleged, then the active duty guys ought to be raiding the retired guys.
Well, yeah, you would think so, but of course it's different. There's a double standard when it's...
I bet, actually, if you checked into it, you'd find, you know what else was there?
What's that?
Probably a lot of guns.
Yeah, I'd imagine there would have been one or two. Say, Art, lately I've really appreciated your observations on the relationship between the government and our so-called mainstream media. I think they're right on target.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much for the call. It's simply true. I watch very carefully. The networks, all of them, excepting perhaps PBS, it's done a fairly credible job, have been serving the interests of our government in the Waco hearings and the Whitewater hearings. The reporting on it is so obviously biased, and in fact the numbers back that up. I've got a report here, but you don't need a report to know. I mean, you watch the evening news, take your pick, and I don't see how you can help but come to the same conclusion. Doc Democrat actually summed it up, I thought, very artfully. When he said, wasn't that a great PR move Democrats did to get that 14-year-old girl in there? Wasn't that great? Diverted the whole attention of the hearings. Yeah, Doc, it was great. It was great. If it's not important to get the truth, and the only important thing is the political outcome for the president, then yes, Doc, it was great. If it's a real truth you want to get to, then it was a great diversion, and the truth is not going to be served. So, yeah, sure, it's a great move. Great political move. Last week, there were a number of people who castigated me for driving a Geo Metro. I drive a little Geo Metro, and I like my Geo. I've had it for years, and I've had great luck with it. And they said, gee, what an image buster. We thought you'd be driving at least a Cadillac. Wrong. So comes this message across the Internet from George. For several years, I've been watching the continual increase in our foreign trade deficit. What got my attention was the fuel shortage imposed by the Arab oil producers. Though fuel is now very cheap in the U.S., the supply is not secure. We are making it less secure by purchasing huge quantities of automobiles that in actual practice get less than 18 miles per gallon. The politicians that I've spoken with about this all want to continue with high-volume imports of petroleum, and they're apparently scared to death of gasoline taxes. This does not make sense in view of the very healthy subsidies benefiting private autos and trucks. Realizing that little will be done by our leaders to change this situation, I too purchased a Geo Metro that regularly gets 60 miles per gallon, easily breaks all speed limits, and is a far better automobile than most others. I heard you mention over KOH Reno that you owned one of these, and my estimate of your intelligence and powers of perception increased another notch. The three-cylinder engine in the Metro is elegantly designed, very durable, even at high speeds. You did not mention this factor. Several years ago, I bought a predecessor of it, the Sprint, which now has 100,000 miles on it, still doesn't use oil, has all of its original power. Could find no indication in the instructions that there was any need to service the car, except for changing the oil, filling the gas tank, and replacing worn tires. So that is all I've got to say. The Metro is the least trouble to own of any car I know of. Signed, G.W.H. I agree. And I don't care what people think of me. Even having achieved some degree of success now, I feel no burning need to take my, by the way, paid-for Geo Metro. Paid-for, I said. And just sort of turn it away and put some gas-guzzling, large, heavy metallic machine out there that I won't drive anyway. Nah, not me. So, Take me to task if you want. Who cares? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi. Art is Bonnie, Foster City, California. How are you doing tonight?
Fine.
You've missed the whole point of this bathroom issue.
I suppose I have.
I can't believe I'm discussing this on nationwide radio. Anyway, the biggest problem, most of your event facilities have a separate area with sinks and mirrors where the women do their gabbing. The big problem is you have only an average of from 3 to 6 stalls in each bathroom.
Yeah, but still, it doesn't matter, because if the primping and mirroring part has to be a part of it, then when they are there gabbing, they are backing everything up, so to speak. And the ones in the stalls can't very well come out to the mirrors and gab until the gabbers move on.
That actually doesn't stop the stall line at all. If you think of it just numerically, say 3 minutes. You got 4 stalls. You can only put 88 women through there in the course of an hour. Now, how many men can use a men's room in the course of an hour? I've never been in one.
Well, the answer is many more, because they don't sit there and gab. Now, I appreciate your call, but I don't buy what you're saying. If part of the experience for the woman is getting in front of the mirror, having a little talk, primping a little bit, then it backs up the whole system, because you've got the one in the stalls that have got to make it into the mirrors. They can't very well come out of the stalls until the mirrors are clear, right? So the line stays backed up. No, sir, I'm not buying it. It's a very different sociological effect or custom, men and women. And as far as I know, there's about as many women's rooms as there are men's rooms. It's not like there's some great shortage of women's rooms across the country. In almost any place I've ever been, you name it, restaurant, event place, whatever, if you've got a men's room, you've got a ladies' room. Only in very tiny places will they have one common for both, you know, where you go in and you lock the door, and then the next person uses it. Otherwise, there is no great shortage of women's rooms. They've got the room just like the men. It's just that they utilize it in a far less efficient way, obviously. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Hello.
This is Don from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Don.
Two side issues on this this law they're trying to pass where you can sue somebody for what their kids did.
Yes.
I could see where there's going to be a lot of kids that are not going to have any legal parents, because the parents are probably going to go to court and get that waived.
Well, that would be after the fact, so it wouldn't help.
Well, I mean before. If they know they got a troubled kid,
yeah,
they're going to go to court and say, hey, he's not ours no more legally.
Well,
I could see that happening.
Maybe that would prevent a lot of terrible things from occurring. I mean, if a child is unmanageable and is destined or likely to do something awful, and they're not in control of that child, then maybe they ought not be in custody of that child.
That's true, but there's also another thing I could see. I could see where insurance might have a niche in here, where you can pre-plan and get insurance for this type of action.
That's true.
Just like a car insurance.
It's another opportunity for insurance companies, comprehensive coverage of kids.
Right. And I had something that happened to me in a men's room at a medical facility. I was just turning around from the urinal, and there was about a 10-year-old girl in there with her dad and her brother. And I tell you, that was kind of disheartening there.
Yeah, that might be
something like that.
Well, right, but that occurs. That's disheartening, perhaps. But this new custom, that's why we're talking about this, because there is this threat now, not even so subtle, that women are going to begin actually invading men's rooms in order to get what, God knows what, probably an increase in facilities, whatever it is they're after. They're going to invade men's rooms. Now, that's not just unsettling. That's just uncivilized. And I don't know what I'd do if I saw some woman come bursting into a men's room. So I guess it's getting pretty serious. I mean, they're running pieces. 2020 ran a piece. Was it 2020 or Dateline last night? I don't know. But a whole piece on this very problem East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art.
Hello.
This is Helen in Roswell.
Roswell, New Mexico.
Uh-huh, yeah. All right, I wanted to ask a question. I wanted, first of all, to mention that, you know, sometimes in these ladies' rooms, the latches don't work a lot of times on the booths.
Well,
and
then
having another female kind of guard the door is kind of nice.
Well, then protest to get the latch fixed, not to go over to the guy's room.
Oh, I never went to a guy's room. Art, you get Virginia there. You've got a station in Virginia. In January of this year, the 12th of January, my kids' cousin, a young man that was in Centerville for a visit, he was visiting his parents.
Yes.
And he was not familiar with the area at all.
Yes.
So he kind of stayed at home. And after about a week of this, he decided to go to a movie.
Right.
And it was about a block away.
Yes.
And he went to the movie, and halfway through the movie, he didn't like the movie. So he got up and he left. And he got outside of the movie house, and he got shot in the face.
Oh, boy.
And he died. And my kid's cousin, my ex's brother, and he's a retired major. And
why was he shot? Was this
nobody
just a
knows.
Random
out,
shooting?
Yeah, he came out, and I've been wondering if anybody was caught or anything on this. And
yeah,
I don't know how to find out.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you either, other than to call the town in question and inquire about the investigation. But I do know this. In modern America, it is said it is now more likely. At one time, if you were going to be murdered, the great likelihood was that the murderer would be somebody that you know. It would be a passion murder. It would be somebody in your family, one of your so-called friends, somebody you know. In modern America, not only is your likelihood of being murdered greater, but there's a much greater likelihood that it will be somebody you don't know, a complete stranger, for possibly no apparent reason at all, other than you were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and somebody who just didn't give a damn about life took your life. That is the more likely of the eventualities in modern America. So there is a lot of that kind of thing going on, absolutely random shootings. And it's Saturday morning, so here's Maria from the high desert to you.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995.
Shadows painting our faces, traces, a romance in our head, heaven's holding our head.
To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from July 21st, 1995.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. And what you're hearing here is Cusco, of course. I'm so in love with this particular record. It's about my new favorite, I would guess. Art, why women go to the bathroom in groups is a Darwinian issue. It's a vestigial pack instinct. Do not use my name. One other thing. He's probably afraid of an attack. One other thing. Do you believe that all liberals and all Democrats are as out of touch as Charlie? An interested liberal in Fairbanks, Alaska. Darn, I want to use his name. And his address and phone number, too, if I had those. But I won't. Have you noticed there's a lot of fear on this issue, isn't there? Why are people afraid of this? It's because they're afraid of women. That's why. I think a lot of men are absolutely scared to death of women. And he pictures a wild, angry, frustrated mob of women at his door, ready to tear him to shreds. And I must say, that fear is not entirely groundless. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, yeah, I got a couple of questions I want to ask.
Well, all right, where are you?
This is Kip from Decatur, Alabama.
Decatur, yes, sir.
Yeah. It's come up, you know, in the Waco investigation about, you know, the child molestation and stuff like that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When was it the ATF's job to, you know, investigate child molestation and child abuse?
Never.
Okay. Another question I got.
Well, that one didn't even really need an answer. I mean, you know the answer.
I knew the answer. I was just wanting to make sure for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And another question. They said that there was a methamphetamine lab inside the...
I never saw any evidence of that.
I never did either.
And that is the only thing that allowed the involvement of the military. And why isn't that a big issue? Well, you know, so, you know, these hearings are being orchestrated with the cooperation of the media, totally away from, headed toward the truth, which is really sad. And I thought, you know, Doc Democrat did it up really well this morning. What a great PR move, he said.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, I missed the first half of the show.
Oh, I see. That's too
job,
bad.
So.
You would have really liked it.
I wish I could hear that again. and another question that I have, well, I forgot what that one was.
Really?
But I'm really enjoying the show. Thank you for answering my questions and let me get it in the mind of everybody.
All right, sir. Thank you. Decatur, Alabama. Decatur, Alabama. Wonder what it's like living in Decatur. It's one place I've never been. Decatur, Alabama. Wildcard line 2, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. How's it going? This is Ryan in Woodside, California.
All right.
And I think I got the origin of where women got together and go to the bathroom. And I think it's all from when women used to, or men, rather, used to stand up to let the women go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And so I believe that in some sort of...
In other words, well, like when you're at a movie theater or something, mm-hmm. you got to stand, and so that instead of inconveniencing the men twice, they do it all at once.
You're correct. I think it's some sort of politeness thing that has just been handed down through the generation.
So it has become genetic.
Oh, I don't know about that. More.
Well, then, why?
Like a learned response, I guess.
Well, learned response. Well, then, so then when the women are at the end of the aisle, they're not going to disturb anybody, and they still go together.
Right.
So how do you account for that?
Well, that's a good question. But I just always assumed, like in my mother's day, when women would get up during dinner, that all the men would stand so that they wouldn't have to keep on getting up and down and up and down.
You mean in the polite old days?
Right. And so it just becomes something that's just...
It's true. These days, should that occur, why, it doesn't even interrupt the chewing.
Right.
Mm. All right. Thank you very much for the attempt and the call, but I don't think it has yet successfully been... although that was a good stab at trying to explain it. And that somehow then it became genetically, from that point... ingrained in women, but nah. There's more to it. You know it, I know it. Dear Art, I'm about to say something totally different about your Roswell pictures, that I've been studying for about 2 weeks now. These pictures do not have the fake look of a Hollywood backdrop, and they have an air of authenticity about them. Yes. You may have given your pictures the wrong name. I think you should have called them Los Alamos. I might be a total paranoid or cynic. You be the judge. With the recent disclosures about the secret radiation experiments on unsuspecting and innocent citizens of the U.S., I believe we might be witnessing a small child who's been fed plutonium or some other toxic nuclear material. This was just acknowledged by the government a couple of weeks ago, and is in a government-run laboratory being studied for the purpose of effects of radiation on the human body. The body looks as if in the advanced stages of some type of muscular deformation possibly caused by radiation poisoning. After watching the workings of government my whole life, I don't believe this is so far-fetched. Ivan, in Lincoln, Nebraska. Ivan, the only argument that I would have with that would be that the six fingers and six toes, while not impossible, are almost impossible. And that even given radiation, it would make you sick or give you cancer, but the radiation given to an existing being would not grow additional digits nearly as I know. And east of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Art Bell.
Yes.
I'm a first-time caller.
Where are you?
I'm PJ, and I'm in Memphis.
Memphis, Tennessee, and the mighty WMC.
Yes, I've been trying to get you for an hour and a half.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
Did a lady call you and talk any more about the reason why women went to the restroom in twos?
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of discussion about it, but I would say there's been no obviously true reason given.
Oh. Well, of course, I haven't been able to hear you for the last 50 minutes.
Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, if you've got the answer to the question.
A lot of times, ladies go to the restroom in twos because...
Yes.
If they've never been there before, they don't know if there's doors on the stalls or if the lock on the door is broke. And women are a lot more modest than men, and they don't like for other ladies to open the door and walk in on them.
Yeah. Well, nobody likes that. Think men like that? They don't like that either.
Yeah.
There's easy ways to handle that. You put your foot up there and or your hand, and you just hold it closed. That's all.
Well, sometimes there's not enough room to put your hand up there and still sit on it.
Well, see, now, you're like some of the other callers that have called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that doesn't, I mean, I'm sorry, it just doesn't ring true. I mean, as the reason. Because the issue here, and there really is an issue, is that women are actually breaking into men's rooms.
I've done it.
See? Now, here's another one. You've actually done that?
Yeah.
How could you do that?
Well, if I need to go bad enough, it's either, you know, go right there so everybody can see me or try to find someplace I can go.
That's a good answer. But what I meant is, I guess I have to accept that answer.
Generally, the places I've done it is like in bars or places where there's only like, you know, one or two, you know, toilets in the place.
And where you can lock the door when you get inside?
Right, uh-huh.
Okay, but
something
see,
like that. But now in a public place, like at a sports arena or something like that, I've never done that.
Yeah, well, that's what they're talking about. They're talking about...
Well, there's another thing about ladies. Men, 90% of men do not wash their hands after they urinate.
Now, how do you...
But 99% of the women do because we have to.
Oh, well, all right. All right. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it, but I don't believe it. It is unfair and sexist to suggest 99% of the men do not wash their hands. I don't even think that's accurate. I don't even think that's accurate, and it's just another sort of lame offering about why women take longer. It's not true that 99% of the men don't wash their hands. Just not true. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Art Bell.
Yes.
Great to hear from you. Let me turn my radio off.
Yes.
All right, I have the answer as to why women go to the bathroom in Paris.
God knows this has got to be solved shortly or the program's going to end and we'll never know. Why?
All right, I'll make it quick. The reason for it is I've gone to some friends of mine to a lesbian bar, and what it is that the women go in pairs for the single fact that they're afraid of someone, like it's a numbers group thing, you know what I mean? If they're like in numbers, it's a lot safer, so they're worried about being approached when they go in.
If the women's, oh, come on.
I'm serious.
If the women's,
I went to this bar.
Sir,
bar.
Hold it. If the women's rooms are that crowded as they're saying, so crowded they've got to break into men's rooms,
yeah,
then there's a big crowd in there, and they don't have to worry about being alone.
Well, that's somewhat true. We're worried about being approached on the way to the bathroom. Think about it. I've been in a bar, and it was a gay bar, and I didn't know that. And I'm serious. Friends of mine, me and my roommate and I, which is a guy, we went to the bathroom together for the single fact of being afraid of being approached by, you know, a gay person, being male, of course. And that's what we were worried about. And
I thought you said it was a lesbian bar.
Well, it was both. We thought it was, but we found out once we got in there that it was kind of a both type thing. And that's why we went numbers like that. We were afraid to be approached
by
some
you,
guy.
Why did you go there in the first place?
Well, because we were some girls that I work with, and they talked us into going to it just to see what it was like. They wanted us to, you know, they wanted to show us their friends and whatnot. But we went there just to see what it was because they were asking us to go for weeks.
So you two guys then, in that atmosphere, felt the need to protect each other?
Well, not necessarily protect each other. It was just that we figured that, you know, if we would be safe. Once we got into the bar,
you'd
realized,
be looked at as a couple.
Well, no.
In that atmosphere. Oh, yes, you would.
Not necessarily. We had quite a few friends with us. They could usually tell what you were, if you were gay or not.
Oh, really?
It was just a matter of being worried about it. Of course, we never got approached the whole time we were in there. But it was just a matter of being worried about it. So, I mean, I have never gone to the restroom with a guy in my life.
All right, well, look, all right, sir. Thanks. Exactly. See, most guys haven't. So I give up on this issue. I give up. It's obvious to me that nobody has a good answer. Maybe nobody's ever talked about it before. Maybe nobody's even ever brought this up before. So there is no good answer. Nobody knows the answer. There would have to be a study by a battery of psychologists, something funded by the government, perhaps, long-term, surveys done, women questioned, and even then, we probably wouldn't know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Well,
hello, how are you?
Well, I'm okay.
As soon as I turn my radio down, huh?
Yes, thank you.
This is Derek from Phoenix, Glock Glutton, and the guy who...
Yeah.
Got carried away the other night and called Charlie a punk. I apologize for saying that on your
Why?
Program.
Why? He is.
Well, it was true. I just got carried away and I wanted to make a few more points and I just started freaking out, you know, because Charlie exudes that kind of response to people, you know. He just kind of.
He does, and he is a punk, so there's nothing to apologize for.
Thank you kindly.
Mm-hmm.
I think women go to the restroom in groups to talk about men.
So do I.
I mean, talk about sex.
So do I.
They do all their, you know.
Well, I don't
talk.
Know. I don't know if it's sex, you know, but
well,
maybe it is. It may be. We have no way of knowing. But yeah, they go there to talk. I'm sure of it.
You know, and a nice thing happened to me today. Before I forget to mention it, I was sitting here opening my mail that I hadn't gotten in a while, and guess what I found?
What?
A refund check for my Tropay 900DL telephone for $10.
Oh, listen. There's nobody. Like the Sea Crane Company.
Oh, they're the best.
Yes, they are.
They are the best. Anyway, I just didn't have anything burning just to say. It just sure was nice finding a $10 check for a great telephone.
Thanks, my friend.
Bye-bye now.
Take care. Yeah, they're really a good company. They're a very, very honorable company. And the thing about Sea Crane is that They're in business more because they love the business. And that's why you get such good service. You know, they started that whole trip, so the whole idea was to find the best product no matter who it was and sell it. And so for that reason, they don't form relationships with companies. They don't become, quote, distributors, and where you have to carry products and that kind of stuff, because then you got to carry junk. You want to be able to go out and find and test and sell the best, and you have to remain independent in order to do that. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell. This is Pat in Lodi, California.
Hi, Pat.
I just bought myself, in fact, as a result of your having piqued my interest in a shortwave radio. So now I'm needing to hook up an external antenna.
What kind of radio did you buy?
Well, needless to say, it was the radio you advertised that piqued my interest, but I ended up with the Grundig Satellite 700.
Ooh, you got the big one, the good
yes,
one.
Yes, I did. And I found...
All right, well, what do you want to know about an external antenna?
Well, I bought one today,
okay. And
I had to get a European coaxial adapter.
That's correct.
And then I ended up getting an inverted V multiband shortwave antenna because I thought that might be the way to go.
I would say it is.
And I connected the connector to the coaxial improperly,
yes.
Or I find that the internal antenna, the whip antenna, is actually doing a better job.
No, that would not be true. So you have done something wrong. Now there is a switch on the side of the Satellite 700 that switches between internal and external antenna. Do you know that?
Yes, sir, and I go back and forth between the two, and invariably I find that my reception
okay,
is better.
Okay. Then what you have done is you've shorted it out at the connector. That can be the only answer.
Okay.
So do you have a volt-ohm meter?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
All right. What I recommend is you redo your connector.
Okay.
What did you do? Did you solder it in?
No, I didn't. I kind of jerry-rigged it in there.
All right, there you go. So you've got the shield shorting to the center conductor is what you've got.
I tried to separate the two as best I could, but
it takes is one tiny little strand from the coax braid or whatever. What are you using as a feed line? In other words, what kind of cable is coming in?
52-ohm RF cable.
Yep, okay. So you've got one little tiny strand of that braid still connected to the center conductor. That's what's wrong.
And I suspected that was the case, and I played with it, and obviously I haven't done a job. Well, that's assuring, then. I'll go ahead and get a little more guidance on how to properly connect this, connected to the coaxial.
Believe me, when you get it connected, did you string it up properly outside?
By properly, I did not string it up as an inverted V, but I did string it up to the eaves of the house.
The eaves of the house.
Well, they are not an inverted V. Instead, now they're parallel to the ground. They're running along the underside of my roof.
Well, do you have any trees in your yard?
I'm afraid not. I rent a duplex, and
okay,
I can't put anything permanent
still,
up.
All right. Well, it still will tremendously outperform, even under that circumstance, the rod antenna. So straighten it out. And everything will be okay.
Okay. You know, I'm going to have to make an observation here. You've expressed an interest in your love for cats.
Oh, yes.
You made mention one morning that you're a marksman, or that at least you enjoy shooting or handguns.
I love shooting, yeah, both handguns and rifles.
Mm-hmm. And I, too, also. But that's redundant.
I, too, also, yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an interest in photography?
I do.
I find now, and I've run into so many people that have these three interests. Cats, photography, and marksmanship. And I'm not talking about the people that like to go out and shoot copious rounds of ammo downrange. I'm talking about people that enjoy shooting for marksmanship. And there always seems to be photography as part of their hobbies and a love for cats as well. Just a passing observation.
How many of these people also belong to the Council on Foreign Relations or one of those organizations?
More often than not, I find that most of us really don't like belonging to any organizations. I belong to the NRA simply because I compete, not in necessity. I have to.
Generally non-joiners.
As a rule, this is my observation.
Listen, my friend, good luck with your antenna.
Am I able to pick up your 3.885 on my shortwave, or is that simply
Where are you again? Lodi?
Lodi, California.
Absolutely. I'll come in like a ton of bricks, and I'll be there in about 10 minutes. Give me about 10 minutes.
I'm looking forward to dialing it in, then.
All right. Take care. 3885 lower sideband. In about 10 minutes, I'll crank up the big rig. Before I do that, I have to go around the house and turn off all the audio amps that I've got. Otherwise, my voice will be amplified objectionably throughout the house. East of the Rockies, you're on the air, but we don't have a lot of time. Hello.
Hello, Art. Art Bell.
Where are you?
I'm calling from Denver.
Denver, Colorado. All right.
Yes, I just wanted to talk about Newt Gingrich and his...
Well, we have very little time, so what do you want to say about Newt?
About his war on drugs.
Yeah?
I think, you know, this has been debated for over 30 years, and I don't know why he's bringing it up now.
Because he wants a consensus, sir. That's why. Listen, the program is over. We're out of time, so say goodnight, America.
Hey, thanks a lot. Goodnight, America.
That's it. From Denver, the final goodnight, America. 3885 bound on the 75-meter band in about 10 minutes. I'm Art Bell. Sunday here with Dreamland from the high desert. Goodnight.